What was that?
Did you hear that? Did I hear what?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What happens if the zombies come? Are you prepared for that?
Hey, Goober. Come over here, Goober. That's what I call my pet chicken. But I'm hungry right now, and you and I are going to eat. Come here, Goober. I'm going to twist your neck.
Great advice. You pretend that I'm going to do that.
Someone needs to explain to me hygiene here.
Remember, when the gay community is granted personal freedoms, ours get taken away. How? Shh.
Hi, it's Lisa. I am going to be drinking a lot in the next few weeks because, you know, this time of year, things get crazy.
And now,
let the romance begin.
Our feature presentation.
Hi, Lisa May.
Dimitri.
Dimitri.
Oh, my God. Can we please hear Dimitri?
It's a moist way to start the day, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Good morning.
How are you, my love?
I'm good.
Michael Catherwood?
Michael Dwight Catherwood.
What's up?
How are you, buddy?
Mike!
This is very surreal. But
it's a homecoming on the Kevin and Beach show. Old friend Mike.
There's a lot of reasons why it seems strange to be up at this time of morning and to be hosting a radio show. One of them is that, you know, I've always devoted my time, at least in my adult life, to wanting to be better and bigger in radio. Mm-hmm. And so to be co-hosting the Kevin and Bean Show this morning is very strange, and it's oddly gratifying. It's like I said, surreal. Another thing is that I got up at this time of morning to come into this here room for so many years and then got relief from that. And now I'm doing it again.
Yes.
Just being awake at this time, you know, when I wouldn't come here, if I had to go to catch an early flight, getting up at 5 in the morning, you get that same feeling again. You're like, oh, this is...
You got up at 5 because I have to get up at 4.
Remember this world that we call, you know, 5 in the morning? You got up at 4.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to primp.
Because girls have to, you know, do that.
Well, this is definitely
I don't want to hear from you.
This is definitely a step backwards for you, Mike.
Yeah.
But I sensed that your career wasn't really going anywhere.
Yeah.
So at this point, it's all just hanging out at the bottom anyway.
You'd be surprised how right you are. So to be invited back to the... Welcome to the lowest rung of the entertainment industry here on radio is great for me.
Although I will tell you, it doesn't make Beer Mug look good to have you back in the room. I'm telling you. You know, we forget what it was like having you here when things were good, back when the show was good. And then now we have Beer Mug. So now you come in here and it just brings all that into sharp focus again. I'm sorry, Mugs.
I'm standing right here.
I know.
He's in the room.
It's just sad.
But I love Mike, but let's not rewrite history.
Really?
I remember
was it
the
bad then? Was
Mike
he terrible?
Backed me up. Well, it's a hard job, and the screaming that he got from you and from Kevin all the time. See, I think it year 4 maybe it finally petered out a little bit.
No, never did. I think it's always look, when you're doing live radio, there's always times, no matter how good or bad someone is, that people just they make mistakes or you rub people the wrong way, you know.
And right. Sometimes it's just a misunderstanding. Yeah. Sometimes it's not even somebody's wrong,
but
it's just they annoy you.
And Lisa May and I were talking about it last night. The gold to Beer Mug is that he continues down with discourse. Like, there will be a mistake made, and then there's the conversation around the mistake, which sometimes bleeds over to on air. With Kevin, Bean, and I, it was a mistake made. Even if I did not necessarily feel like that mistake was my fault, you just kind of go, oh, all right, well, let's figure out what we're going to do for the next bit and pretend like that didn't happen.
Mike would just sort of bow his head.
Yeah.
And
Beer Mug fights
Beer Mug
it.
Does
Beer
not.
Mug challenges every ref call.
Yeah.
That's what
Fantastic.
It is. Well, it's great to see you, Michael. And the reason Mike is here today is because we're down some people because Kevin is out today.
Yeah.
And Ralph is out today.
Yeah.
So no one wants to work with me, apparently. Let me talk about this real quick. Do we have time? Yeah, we have time. What the hell? We're on till 10. Let me talk about this real quick. And I particularly want Mike's insight on this. Lisa, I want to hear from you as a woman. But Mike, I want to hear from you as the co-host of the nationally syndicated Loveline radio show.
Oh,
because you deal with lots of sexy time type issues. This isn't the first time this happened, but this is the latest. There is a mother-daughter combo in Tampa, Florida, who work together.
Mm.
They are porn stars
who
do scenes together.
Yeah.
Now, for legal reasons, they're not allowed to touch one another when they're making a movie. But
for legal reasons?
Well, because incest is illegal. But they do team up on the same guy and on the same girl.
I sort of have a boner.
But the daughter's over 18.
Yes. That's not everybody's legal.
Really,
but it's still
incest anymore, is
it? It's still against the law to have sex with a family member.
Huh.
You know, with a brother, sister, mother, father. It's against the law. Mm. They call themselves the Sextons, S-E-X-X-X-T-O-N-S. It's Jessica is the mom and Monica is the daughter. And it has been sourced, and it's not just something they made up and they got these two ladies and pretended that they're family. They've done the research and seen the driver's licenses, and they are, in fact, the real deal. We don't have a problem doing two-on-one, Jessica, 56, explained to the Huffington Post. We'll have sex with one man but not interact with each other. Monica, 22, says the kinky choreography is a lot more difficult than her mom makes it sound. It's not easy to do. Sometimes it's a problem when filming.
So this is their hook.
Yes.
It's like Modest Yahoo at a concert where they have to like can separate the men and women so that he doesn't touch any of them when he crowd surfs.
Now, first I want to ask, is that a fantasy, Mike, that you hear about on Loveline that people are into being with a mother and a daughter at the same time? Because to me, that just is skeevy.
It's terrible. I don't think it's like a common one, but it certainly is like a lot of perverted guys get off on the idea of it. And we take that call where it's like, you wouldn't believe it. I was at a bar and there was this one girl and like I took her home months ago and then I took this new girl home and I'm looking at her pictures on the wall and it's like the other girl was her daughter and I tagged them both. But
I can sort of a little bit understand that if it's not at the same time, it's just two attractive women. But I don't get how you would not be skeeved out by mother-daughter because you would feel so bad, especially for the daughter. Like, you're naked and having sex in front of your mom. How are you doing that? Like, that's not sexy, right, Lisa?
And your mom is 56 and has to do porn. How sad is that? Retire, mom. You know, help her out.
You do some extra movies so that mom doesn't have to?
Yes.
Well, you're seeing it's like when you see the video of the accidents, the car accidents in the snow, where you can see the person winding out of control for miles away until they finally smash into something. When you're watching the daughter and the mom have sex on camera together, you see the cycle of abuse and perversion that creates two people that enter into the world of the adult film industry at the same time. You know that, like, the mom that's willing to do porn at 56 is definitely going to raise the kid who's willing to do porn at 19 or whatever she is.
Well, it won't surprise you, they're from Florida.
No.
Florida? And they say it's not a turn on at all for them. It's just something they do because they know it's a hook and they're going to make a lot of money doing it. So please enjoy it.
I hate to say this, but if the market and the economy continues to be what it is any longer, you're going to start to see more of this fringe perversion.
That's probably
like people
true.
Are willing to do whatever it takes if they can get some steady work.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about today's Owen and Kevin Show, shall we?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Well, we got a huge program. As you know, Muse is coming to town. Now that the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows are behind us, we turn our attention to January. Muse is playing two sold-out shows at Staples Center. A third show has been added for January the 26th. We're going to give you tickets to Muse in the 6 o'clock hour, and they put on a phenomenal live show. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com is going to be joining us. We've got some highlights from the Acoustic Christmas shows over the weekend. I understand, Mike, your old friend Rudy is stopping by today. What's Rudy got on his mind?
I found out something unbelievable at the Acoustic Christmas this weekend.
Rudy Cisneros was there?
Rudy converted to Judaism.
What?
That's crazy.
I wouldn't expect that in his community.
It's something like 4 or 5 years ago he converted to Judaism, and he's going to explain Hanukkah.
Oh, that should be great.
Oh,
don't ask me.
All right.
Andrew Siciliano, we got a chance to hang out with at the show last night, is going to be on talking about another unbelievable NFL weekend. He, of course, from DirecTV's Red Zone and the NFL Network. We have a Kevin and Bean reporter who was ringside at the Manny Pacquiao fight.
Oh, that's
one of the great
cool
knockouts in boxing history Saturday night, by the way. He's going to join us today to talk about what it was like in that room. He was in Manny's corner. I know you're excited, Lisa, but when I tell you that it's the Armenian comedian, maybe you'll be less so.
Oh, come on.
But
Are you kidding?
He has
We're
a theory.
Going to him for real information.
He was there.
About anything.
He has a theory that Manny lost on purpose, and he's the only one floating that theory.
I'm all excited, brothers.
So we'll talk to Sam, and I'm saving the best for last in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. I can cross this one off my bucket list. A lady I've always wanted to have on the program, the beautiful Miss Betty White.
That's pretty exciting.
Miss Betty White is going to be on the program.
All right.
Are you going to?
No, not even a little bit. It's not like that.
Mike.
It's not like that at all. Although, imagine the video you can make with her, with her daughter, her granddaughter, her great-granddaughter, her great-great-granddaughter.
Oh, Golden Girls co-star? It doesn't
matter.
And by the way, what with the stop at Mike? You know how he is.
I know how you are.
Right.
You're so much worse than
I
him.
I love Betty White in a very respectful way.
I know.
I'm just excited to talk to her. So all of that is coming up on an all-new Kevin and Bean show next on K-Rock. Rise Against on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, one of the many highlights from this weekend's sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas show. Those guys know how to put on a concert. Rise Against.
Yes, they do.
They were great. Speaking of concerts, I mentioned a few minutes ago, Muse is coming to town, playing a bunch of dates at the Staples Center in January. Matt Bellamy should be out of his cast by then. Should be dancing around the stage from his broken foot. If you're a Muse fan, got a game just for you. You got to know some Muse music. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1060. And you have to be on hold for a few minutes. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Mike.
Hi, everybody.
In for Ralph Garman, Mike Catherwood. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
Yeah. We got a lot of baby news. A lot of news swirling around the world of babies.
Is there no birth control anymore? What's happening? Don't people know how these babies are created?
Some people want them, Bean.
What?
Some people want them, Bean.
Okay.
It's the truth. But let's dispel some baby rumors right out the gate. Justin Theroux, Jennifer Aniston, they are not having a baby. There's been a lot of rumors lately that they are going to be expecting their first child, but sources tell Us Weekly the story is simply, and I quote, crap. The story is crap.
Here's how stupid the tabloids are with Jennifer Aniston. I swear to God I saw this over the weekend. She's walking in a parking garage with her fiancé, Justin Theroux, and she has a coat over her arm and she's holding her purse.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's a human who has arms, that's how she holds things when she walks.
Yeah. Nope, hiding a baby bump.
That's what they said. Is Jennifer Aniston hiding a baby bump? Look at the way her coat and her purse are in front of her stomach. That's how people carry stuff.
She's been pregnant for 5 years.
Yeah, also, though, I mean, the way people search for entertainment news, if they can somehow get that picture where it does look like the way she's holding her purse looks like a protrusion in her belly, it'd at least get you 1,000 more hits.
Yeah. And so all they want is the click. You know. Because that gives you that photo of nothing, by the way, gives you the ability to write, is Jennifer Aniston pregnant? Is this the proof? Click here.
In other baby news, perpetually chubby Jessica Simpson may, in fact, be eating for two once again.
I heard that rumor last week.
Yes, she was house hunting with Eric Johnson, her fiance, and people saw her wearing very loose black clothing, and it did look like there was a baby bump. Radar Online says she hopes to tie the knot before the baby number two comes along, is nervous about adding another member to the family, and her $3 million endorsement deal with Weight Watchers could be in jeopardy due to her delicate condition. I'm Jessica Simpson,
yes. Go ahead.
Lisa May, I'm thinking that popping out baby number two right now is a great idea because it lays great cover fire for the fact that she cannot control the way she eats.
Right.
Yeah.
And having two babies like that is a great excuse to
stay
big.
Yep.
And what's the rush to get married now?
Seriously.
She's already had the first baby.
Yeah. Well,
and now she's going to be pregnant again.
If this Eric Johnson is anything if he has above a 60 IQ, he's just formulating the best prenuptial agreement possible because his career is going to be Mr. Jessica Simpson at this point. So
that's right.
I don't know if people really realize how much money this woman's worth.
Which means she does not need Weight Watchers $3 million at all.
That's true. She makes like hundreds of millions of dollars with everything she does.
I think at some point ego steps in.
I wonder if it was also incentive. She knew she would have trouble because she's always had trouble with weight. I wonder if she thought, I'll be more likely to want to work out if I know that it's embarrassing for me publicly if I don't.
Probably.
Yeah. On an unrelated story, totally unsubstantiated, Nick Lachey laughed his ass off at looking at this story while he delicately made love to Vanessa Manila, who's like a size zero. Also, now this is good baby news for many people. It's also terrible news for people with boners. Megan Fox says, now that she's a mom, she won't do any more roles that require her to be overtly sexual or to show off her body.
No! I agree, sir.
Does Megan Fox not want to work?
That's what she does.
I mean,
overtly sexual?
Okay.
Is it like any romantic movie?
You think
at
they're going to run down to Megan Fox agent to look her up for some Shakespeare? Megan, I hate to break it to you. You better find a new line of work if you're not going to show off that bod.
I guess she says she's worried about what her kids are going to see when they get old enough and stuff.
Well, she doesn't have to get naked. I know you'll argue that. But I mean,
This Is 40. Her whole job in This Is 40 is to just walk around and be hot in a bikini to make Leslie Mann's character feel bad. Right.
She needs to lay off plastic surgery, by the way.
Who does?
Megan Fox.
Megan Fox had plastic surgery?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I guess I didn't even realize that.
Are you sure it's not just Botox? Like her face is frozen?
Listen, she needs to stop doing anything.
Why
her
would
face is very
why
frozen.
Does Megan Fox need to do anything to be prettier?
Megan Fox is like 24 or something.
Yeah.
Stop it. Transformers era Megan Fox was like the hottest girl I'd ever seen in my life. There's no need to mess with that. And just stop it with the bloating of the face. And she has that weird thing. I don't know what it is, Lisa May, but like where it looks like she can't really do any type of countenance. Her face is smooth and doesn't work.
Yeah, Botox.
So stop that.
That is crazy.
They start doing it earlier and earlier.
When you're 24 and you're doing Botox, that's crazy.
So you want to be 50 with not a single line on your face.
Yeah.
It'd be like you've never lived.
I know people from Dancing with the Stars that are younger than that, but consistently do that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
In celebrity birthdays today, speaking of Shakespeare, actor-director Kenneth Branagh, one of the best Shakespearean actors on film. He is 52 years old. Singer-guitarist Jay Maskus, a legend of 90s art rock from Dinosaur Jr. 47 years old. Singer-songwriter Donovan Frankenreiter. 40 years old. Oh, he loves surfing.
He certainly does.
Drummer Meg White of the White Stripes, the counterpart to Jack White, who was performing his solo act on stage last night at the 23rd annual K-Rock Acoustic Christmas. And one of the most underrated beautiful women in the world, actress Emmanuelle Shariki, is 35. She looks 22, so
she
good
does.
For her. Actress Raven Simone, she be that Rudy. She be that Rudy from The Cosby Show, 27 years old, and that is the Ralph Showbiz.
Alex Clare, he was there. We saw him last night at the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. You bring him on? You brought him on stage, Michael?
No. Dr. Drew and I interviewed him backstage, though.
Yeah?
And I insulted him very much.
What did you do?
Don't insult the guests.
I was saying how you have such a beautiful accent. The British accent can go either way. You can either sound like an Oxford professor or a chimney sweep.
Right.
What's up with that? And he's like, I don't know if you know this, but I'm actually from East London, which makes me a Cockney. So you've just insulted me. I was like, there you go. You're the white trash of London. What do you want me to do?
Well done.
Yeah.
So sad. Kevin Beach Show here on a Monday. Looking at Muse, January 23rd, 24th, and just out of the January 26th at Staples Center. Let's give away some tickets right now with a game we like to call the Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
All right, the game Title Fight. Here's how it works. 45 seconds on the clock. Dave and Lisa are going to be the contestants here today, and they are going to be trying to describe Muse titles without using any of the major words. Now, Muse songs, Lisa, as you know from years past, are a little difficult.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
Because they're all about space.
You guys need to know the song.
Yes, so basically you're going to try to name the Muse songs that they are describing as many as you can in 45 seconds. Whoever gets the most wins the tickets. Let's. Who's our first contestant here, Beer Mug?
Line 4.
Let's talk to Line 4 then.
Chris.
It's going to be Chris. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready to play?
Yeah. How are you guys doing? Good morning, Kevin, Bean, and Mike, and Lisa May.
Good morning.
Well,
pick Lisa. Not badly done.
All right. We're going to make you go first. That's the bad news. You don't have the benefit of hearing your competitor first, but we are going to let you choose who you want.
Lisa.
Is it Dave or Lisa going to be your partner? Pick Lisa. Your best advice to pick Lisa.
I met Lisa yesterday. She's really cool.
So you want
Chris.
Lisa to give the clues here.
We can do this.
Okay. All right. 45 seconds on the clock. The only other thing I'll add that I haven't said yet is if you're just totally stumped, like you have no idea where she's going, go ahead and just say pass, and if there's time at the end after 45 seconds, you can still go back and try to pick up the one you missed, okay?
Yeah.
All right, Muse titles is what we're looking for. I don't have a good feeling about this. Let's go.
These twinkle in the sky.
Starlight.
Uh-huh. This is when a bunch of people get together. They want to overthrow a government.
Uprising.
This is when you are crazy out of your mind. You're insane.
Panic station.
Okay, when you get really... Okay, this is when you don't want to tell someone how you feel.
Panic station?
No, okay, so you're not going to admit it, but you have very strong feelings for someone. You want them, but you don't want to tell them.
Pass.
Okay, this is an enormous thing.
We're about the black hole.
Yes. Oh, okay. We have to go back to that, right?
Yes.
So when you.
Okay. Oh, wow. You were a great player.
You did so
and I
good.
Never would have guessed that based on talking to you.
That was awesome.
The one you couldn't come up with was Undisclosed Desires.
It's a
you
tough
want
one.
Somebody, but you don't want to tell them. But you got Starlight Uprising, Madness, and Supermassive Black Hole. And Mike, thank you for not saying anything when Supermassive Black Hole was on the air.
I'm growing up.
Four is a great,
good
great
job.
Showing. All right, let's go to our next contestant. Who's playing against Chris here?
We have Joe.
Hey, Joe.
What you do with that gun in your hand?
What's going on?
I was thinking the same thing.
Joe, you got a lot of work. You're rolling a giant boulder up a hill here because, A, your competitor got four, which is great. B, Dave is going to be giving you clues.
Yeah, and that's I'm A on, and B.
And I'm on 2 hours of sleep, dude. So.
All right, we're not listening to you, Joe, but we are going to play the game. 45 seconds on the clock. Muse songs, go.
All right, when you're all crazy and you're all bonkers, what are you?
Madness.
Nope.
Come on,
hysteria.
Yep. All right. When someone's trying to overthrow the government will put up
resistance.
All right. If you're out in the wild and you're lost, you need to. You're fighting for
survival.
All right. It's the round, like the round table. These guys are the round table, but
Knights of Sidonia.
And this game's almost over, so.
Say it again?
I said this game is almost over, so what's happening right now with the clock?
Time is running out.
Oh! Oh! Boom! Suck it! What up, Joe? Let's go party!
Yeah!
Five out of five!
That's how we do it.
That is so how you do.
Well
Lisa
done.
And Chris got owned.
Joe is the Clippers, and that other guy are the Lakers. What?
I don't know about that,
wow.
But I do know that
Sorry,
you
Chris.
Are going to go see Muse at Staples Center in January. We've got them for you every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for listening to the Title Fight.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Oh, yeah! Hey, party people, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday in a post-Acoustic Christmas haze. But we'll make it through. We did talk to No Doubt last night. They were the surprise guests for night number two, and it was awesome to see those kids again. We'll play that for you coming up in a few minutes. Also, the Armenian comedian was ringside at the Manny Pacquiao fight. We'll talk to him.
How does that happen?
And the great Betty White joins us on the program today. First, though, is this Harvey Levin from TMZ.com?
Good morning, guys.
Harvey. How are you, my friend? I know you've been traveling. We haven't talked to you in a while on the air, but it's great to hear your voice.
It's good to be back.
It's not.
Hold on. No, it's not.
But you have a job and you have to do it. Look, it's been weird for us to follow this story of the DJs in Australia and what they've been going through. Michael and Mel, the famous ones who pranked the hospital where Kate Middleton was staying. Look, I'm just glad it's not us. We've been the controversial show that's done stuff like that in the past, and it sucks to have that white hot spotlight on you. But thank God nothing like what happened to them has ever happened to us, Harvey. What have you guys been talking about in the newsroom about what's going on with this?
Well, it's the second I got back, in fact, we haven't even posted this yet on the site, but I'm going to tell you, there is such hypocrisy, I think, in what happened here. Because, you know, these prank calls on radio stations, a lot of stations do them. And this station in particular not only did them, but they got in trouble a few years ago with a prank call that went bad that was much worse than this one. Not in terms of the result, but in terms of what the station had done. They had basically suggested that they called somebody and said that somebody was in a desperate situation, and they ended up with an ambulance rushing to the scene.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no. So my point is this, is that, you know, now the radio station's canceled the show.
Mm-hmm. Temporarily, or have they been fired? They're done.
Well, you know what they're doing, don't you? I mean, they don't want to say you're fired because then the radio station's going to start taking the heat. So they just said, you know that they're going to be out the door, right?
The air till further notice is all they're saying, right?
And the show's canceled. So, you know, what's the difference between that and fired? I don't know.
Yeah.
But the point being that, you know, did you hear the radio station express any indignation publicly when they actually did the prank and got all the publicity?
Not at all.
Did you hear a peep
nope.
about it?
It was all harmless fun and nobody got hurt.
So suddenly the radio station is throwing these guys on the sword and you know, acting like, oh my God, I can't believe what they did. Well, they not only knew what they did, but they never did anything to them until this bizarre thing happened, you know, which is arguably not even foreseeable.
Let me ask you about that, Harvey.
I'm not saying it's a good thing to do or a bad thing to do, but the point being is that the station certainly had no problem with it until they started getting a public heat.
Believe me, we are familiar with that. That's happened to us dozens of times over the years, where they're fine with it if the listeners like it, or if, you know, but if the listeners don't, then all of a sudden we're a-holes for doing it.
Right.
What did you guys talk? I saw a little bit of your TMZ Live show a few days ago when you were talking about the various opinions on whether the DJs should be fired for it, or whether it was just something that was such a freak show accident that came out of nowhere that nobody ever could predict it, and it's just, it's not their fault. What was the verdict in the newsroom?
Well, how do I know? I was out of.
But before you answer that,
hey, hold on.
Okay.
Hey, Charles, what was the verdict in the newsroom on whether these guys should be punished or not when you did this on TMZ Live? He said nobody thought that they should be punished.
Because Bean had told me that he heard that management actually gave him the thumbs up to run the bit, that it had been pre-recorded.
Yeah, it was taped and approved by management before it aired.
So hypocritical.
Yeah.
So
where did they get off firing them?
Yeah.
Well, because now everybody wants that pound of flesh, and they're the easy targets for this.
Right.
You know, and I don't know. As soon as I saw what was going on with the station, and it was interesting to be kind of away and watching it. It just reeked. And the funny thing is that, like, CNN and all these you know, networks, nobody got the point. I mean, they were all, oh, yes, these DJs have been suspended. Nobody ever said, wait a minute, the station never complained about
that.
Yeah,
interesting point.
I have a quick question, Harvey. I don't even know how much you know about this from the investigation that you've done, but is it in Australia, is it going to be similar to the way it is in America when there's this hot button controversy over something that radio or TV broadcasters do, that they end up getting fired and then getting a better job somewhere else because they have become more popular through this controversy? Or are these guys going to be completely ostracized?
I don't think there's a difference between Australia and the United States. I think it just really depends. I do think that, you know, they've been very contrite. They're really upset, obviously.
Of course.
And you know, I just cannot believe that ultimately people are going to say these people are horrible, only because, you know, look, it was a prank. Could you in a million years have anticipated that something like this would happen?
No, and they never even tried to actually sound like the people that
they were imitating.
It was so phony.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It was so phony. It was almost like they played the gag for laughs, like they were going to get caught at the
front
door.
And let's not forget, all this woman do, she answered a phone. She's a switchboard operator. All she did was put a call to the extension that they wanted. That's the extent of what they did to her. It's unforeseeable that something this tragic would happen. But I'm telling you what, like I said, Harvey, when I brought you on, thank God nothing like this has ever happened to us, because even if it wasn't my fault, you'd never get over that were in any even tiny way responsible for somebody's death.
Absolutely.
You'd never get over it. So, well, I know there's going to be much more on this story, and you got some great stuff up on Lindsay Lohan and a lot of other tremendous things at TMZ.com. You should check your local listings as well for the various TMZ TV shows, including TMZ Live at 4 on Fox. Harvey, great to have you on, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, guys.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
By the way, speaking of Monsters and Men, here's a thing that we should mention. Night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. You can see that starting today at 10 a.m. on KRock.com. You can watch the whole show.
Very cool.
Some D-bag hosting that webcast.
Was that you, Psycho Mike?
No.
And then night number two, you can see that tomorrow. We generally do the webcasts live for you, but it occurred to us that maybe a lot of people have other things going on Saturdays and Sundays. So let's put it on Monday and Tuesday so that everybody can watch it and just blow off work. Just sit there wherever you're working and watch it.
Great idea. Those are our people.
So that's this morning at 10 and then tomorrow at 10. You can get the details at krock.com. Of course, it is the most wonderful time of the year.
What about our Jewish fans out there? They're out there. We know you're out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we love you. And we love Canners. Go to Canners every night.
Yeah.
My favorite restaurant, even though they raise the prices.
Well, even when they raise the prices, yeah. As you know, Hanukkah is in full effect. It started on Saturday that it was night number one, and we didn't know until Psycho Mike, you ran into him, I guess, over the weekend at Acoustic Christmas.
True.
That one of our favorite Kevin Bean listeners is now a member of the tribe. What?
You're not going to believe it, but he approaches me and he lets me know that he has, in fact, converted. It's been about 4 years since he converted to Judaism. Let me bring him in. Hey, Rudy, come here.
Oh, Rudy Cisneros? He's the one who...
That is so crazy.
Like, you don't picture that.
No.
Sup? Shalom, dog.
Rudy, I find this very difficult to believe that you are a religious person, first of all, but second of all, that you're a Jew now.
No, it's true. That, like four or five years ago, I was like really in a bad place. You know, I think you guys remember, like, I was really hitting the meth hard, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and I went crazy. I got caught up with another case and thrown in Chino. But like my cellmate at the time, like he was this Jewish guy. You know, his name was Tiger. And his name was like Ronald Showman, but they called him Tiger. He was like, he was a real bad guy, but like he showed me the way. Like, and I was at a time when I was real impressionables or whatever, you know. So basically, like, he taught me about like Judaism and like the way of the Jew, and I converted, dog, in prison. They baptized me with some grape soda that they had, like, up in the...
I'm not sure that's how they do it, but listen, I think it's wonderful. Anyone who finds comfort in religion, if it makes your life happier, if you better, then I'm that's great. But what do you know? I mean, do you study? Do you go to temple every week?
Dog. Like, I was in a kind of a... like a crazy place, you know what I'm saying? I was drinking a lot of like the toilet wine in that time, you know, when I was in the pen. But like, I feel like it changed my whole life, you know, when I was studying about like Judaism and like Hanukkah and stuff like that. So right now I'm like in a time of celebration, you know, because Hanukkah. So like, if you want, I can tell you all about it.
I would like to hear about that, because a lot of people, you know, a lot of especially people who celebrate Christmas, don't know much about how Hanukkah works, and it's kind of a complicated holiday.
All right, dog, like I'm gonna start from the beginning. Okay, so basically, dog.
Okay,
Moses was like in the desert, dog, and it was dry. There's there's no weed anywhere because like no one had no water, and he was walking with his homeboys. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And there was like seven of them. He's like, dog. He's like, there's no water. There's no nothing. There's no weed. There's no Bacardi. Whatever. I haven't seen a hyena for like 4 days. So he's like, peep this. He calls up his homeboy, and Noah. And Noah's like, damn, dog. It's dry where you're at, dog. It's been raining hella hard, like 40 days, 40 nights, crazy rain. I'm flooding up in here. My grandma floated away and stuff. I'm just chilling here with all these animals because my grandma, you know how she is? She buys like chickens or whatever. She feels like maybe she's going to like eat them later, you know? So we have like coyotes and a giraffe, a chicken.
Can I interrupt for 1 second? First of all, Moses and Noah lived at the same time. And how did Moses call Noah? How was that technology available then?
Carlos Slim hooked it up with a big crazy telecommunication. I think he didn't have no iPhone back then, but like he had to create whatever, like the Razor, you know what I'm saying? Flip phone, remember? Stupid.
Oh,
huh?
Yeah, flip phone.
You could get him at like 7-Eleven, whatever, dog, you know what I'm saying? Just dispose of it, like the terrorists on Homeland. Como se dice Homeland, they throw the phone away. So like, he's like, Moses, dog, I know it's crazy rain over there, dog, you got all your animals, you know? And like Moses was living in his van because he used to have this Fly 6-4, but his old lady was tripping on him, so he sold it, got his Astro van.
You're
dope.
Sure about these details, right?
They were walking.
No, he had this crazy dog. Listen, this Astro van was dope. It was legendary. They called it the Ark up in the hood. This is back in East Israel, dog. You know what I'm saying? Where all the homies be down. Sure. So like, he's like, he got this Astro van with Dayton's on it, but he's got all these crazy animals in it. He's like, look, I need to be out of here because like my grandma already floated away. My cable TV's on the fridge because it's like raining crazy, like big like typhoon raining, dog. So I'ma bounce to you. Because you're dry.
Okay.
And I got some water over here, and these animals will get on and popping.
Makes sense.
Because I hear Abraham, dog, he's having a house party. We'll meet halfway.
Oh.
And he's like, all right, dog. So they cruise over there. They all meet up, right? And they're blazing, and because he's like, they brought the, and there's like the giraffes are blazing and everything because there's all these animals that Noah had brought with him in his astral.
We're still
on dates.
Talking about the story of Hanukkah, right?
Listen, dog. So like, you know, Moses had his homeboys, and they're like they're chilling at this house party, and Noah's there, and they're all the animals, and they got like petting zoo, whatever. Call up a couple hyenas. Everything's all right.
Sounds great.
So they're blazing. They just fire up all these joints, right? They got 9 joints, and they're like beautiful, and they're looking good. This guy's dad gets out of the pen. He comes back to the house. The guy who's throwing the house party, Abraham, right?
Oh.
His dad had been locked up, you know, because he got a case. You know, it's like seatbelts or nothing, but 3 strikes, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he comes back in the pad, and they're like, damn, dog, my dad doesn't know I smoke, whatever. And so they had to hide they had to hide the weed.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nowhere to hide it because they're like, what are we going to do? Burn down this place? They got nice shag carpet, you know, and the grandma says she still keeps the plastic on the couch,
you know,
whatever.
They had all
so
this.
They put it in the candelabras, dog. You know what I'm saying? So there was all these joints, they were blazing in the candelabras,
the
you know
menorah.
What I'm saying?
I
and
see.
So they're like, he's like, hey, what are you guys doing, dog? And he's like, we're not doing nothing. We're just shooting craps. But they didn't have no dice, right? They didn't have no dice.
You're positive about these details.
Yeah, dog. Okay. It's true. Believe me, dude. Tiger told me, dog. And like, they didn't have no dice. So they just grabbed the top, you know, and they were spinning it, you know. And he's like, who plays dice with something that spins? They're like, we do. It's a new game. Dreidel, dog. Booyah. And they're like, oh, so then they're like, yeah. So the burning of the candelabras, and everybody's getting blunted out secondhand. Dad doesn't even realize it. He's breathing in the chronic, the Yeska, dog. Everybody's happy, you know. So they're like, hey, dog, it's winter time, dog. It's snowing. You won't believe it. It's snowing right now. You know what I'm saying? Up here in East Israel, it's crazy, dog. So they go outside. You wouldn't believe it, dog. Abraham took a snowball, blasted Moses in the back of the head with the snowball, stuck to his dome in the back. It's got this white patch. And they're like, dog, you got crazy snow in the back of your head. Just a little white patch. It covers this the back. And he's like, I can't get it off. It's like meshed in my hair. You threw it so hard. It's in my brain, dog.
And that's how the yarmulke was born.
And they're like, dog, it actually looks kind of dope. You know what I'm saying? It looks better than your bandana. You know what I'm saying? And you could take your colors off. You won't get shot. You won't have to keep your head on a swivel or nothing. So they kind of rock that style for evers now.
I would say that Tiger hooked you up with the straight dope, man. That's awesome.
That is how Hanukkah started.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rudy Cisneros, now you know. Happy Hanukkah to you and yours, Rudy. Thank you for stopping by.
And that's the real, dog. I got a fever. Only prescription.
6:53 on the Kevin Amin Show for a Monday. Psycho Mike, our friend Mike Catherwood, co-host of Loveline, filling in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat. Actually, we both are today, because no one wants to work with me, Bean.
That's right. Not true.
It's hard to get people to show up after Acoustic Christmas. God bless you, Lisa, for being here.
Thank you.
Hey, speaking of Ralph Garman, who will be back tomorrow, he was in that movie Ted, which turned out to be one of the biggest hits in the history of motion pictures. And it is now out on Blu-ray. We're going to give you a copy right now at 1-800-520-1067, your own copy of Ted on Blu-ray, along with a limited edition 24-inch Ted talking plush teddy bear.
Wow.
Both are available tomorrow on Blu-ray and DVD. So you get a teddy bear and you get the movie if you call now. 1-800-520-1067, caller 20 is who we're looking for this hour. Mike, I wanted to get your take on a couple of stories that we've been talking about here on the Kevin Amin Show.
All right.
First of all, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I run into so many people because they know that I love me some T-Swizzle. I mean, I'm legitimately, genuinely a fan. I love her.
Don't ever say T-Swizzle.
I love her music. I love her as a person. I just am fascinated with her. But people come up to me all the time, and it happened again this weekend, and go, she's a whore.
Yeah.
She is dating.
Uh-huh. She's just young.
She's young, and she doesn't stick with a lot of guys for very long. So she dates somebody else after this one breaks up in 3 weeks. And now people are like, oh, now she's being drilled by the guy from One Direction. And look, she's 22 and she's dating. Is that make her a bad person, Mike?
Absolutely not. But I think when someone is that overwhelmingly successful, where she almost kind of has cornered the whole music market.
Yes.
She's the biggest star in America.
Yeah. And she's pretty, and she has made kind of annoying choices by like writing about ex-boyfriends, and she seems to be this kind of like aw shucks attitude all the time. Like, how does this, all this great stuff happen to me? I think that she sets herself up to be picked on, but at the same time, it's overwhelming how people take these like super popular people, be it Kim Kardashian or Justin Bieber or Taylor Swift. Look, you don't like them, they might annoy you, fine. They're not Hitler. Like, I mean, the way people talk about Taylor Swift and the other
Taylor Swiftler, as Ralph calls
it's
her,
like, she's not a whore. She's not the bane of existence. Well, she's just
yes.
She's a very immature girl with $400 million. You know?
Whore.
Yes, Lisa, go ahead.
I'm just going to say, the double standard is so apparent.
Well, I wanted
here.
To ask
if
you about...
If it was a guy who was 22, you all would be like, yes,
like
you go.
Like Wilder Valderrama. Yeah. Nobody
well,
is criticizing him,
him,
right?
I do think, at least, obviously, there is definitely double standard. But I do think that the tide is changing in that... I actually complain about this whole thing, where now... Adam Levine's a perfect example. All these girls, you see these chat rooms about, like, you know, on the TMZ comments about, like, he's such a slut man whore. And this, and guys, the girls are now all upset about, like, Clooney whenever he breaks up with whatever girl comes his
right.
way. Here's the deal. Really attractive multimillionaires are going to take advantage of that. And there's nothing wrong with it. There used to be a time and a place where, like, Steve McQueen and you know,
good reference.
You know, or like the legendary kind of Hollywood ladies, men, the guys that like went around town taking advantage of the fact that they were uber handsome millionaires.
Yeah.
you encouraged them and you applauded them for doing what they would do, what any guy would do if they were given their... Now there's like this weird thing where you have to live by everybody else's moral code.
It is weird. And it's also weird, by the way, and you brought up that, you know, some people are down on her because she writes songs about her relationships. Doesn't Kanye West write songs about his relationship? Doesn't Brandon Flowers from The Killers write songs about relationships? I mean, that's what people do. People who write songs about their lives.
Everything will be better in retrospect. Like, Marilyn Monroe, 80 times the whore Taylor Swift will ever be.
Yes.
But believe me, people will remember, oh, she was such a great, what a beauty queen. She's like a style icon. It's like, no. Actresses and musicians in the 60s were whores too. And it's just, that's life.
All right. Let's move on to one other boy band story because it involves The Wanted, who I guess are One Direction's competition. I am not familiar with their music, but Lindsay Lohan sure is, and she apparently has glommed on to Max George, one of the members of The Wanted, to the point where she is basically touring the country with them. She's living on the tour bus, going city to city with The Wanted.
Did they invite her, or does she just jump on the bus and
I wondered about
her?
That.
What's up, guys?
How is this sad and desperate, or do I say that just because it's Lindsay Lohan and there's nothing wrong with her? Maybe she's found her true love.
I think... All things considered, Lisa May, I'd love your take on it because you're probably much smarter with this kind of stuff being a woman. I think she's just a sick person.
She seems to get obsessed, like her and Samantha Ronson. Perfect example. Yeah. And then she went for a super long time with really nobody around. You mentioned a couple of weeks ago, is she dating?
Yeah,
what's
she never
on?
Has a boyfriend.
And now she seems
now
to be obsessed
does.
With this guy. Yeah, I think that's just how she works.
But doesn't she seem like she'd be super clingy? Like she's the kind of girl that you'd meet and you go, oh, I'll talk to her because she's kind of pretty. And then you realize that you're not going to be able to shake her. Doesn't she seem like that girl?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Big bag of drama comes with
her. I think
she
falls into these little weird pockets of celebrity dudes, too, because if you're in The Wanted and 6 months ago you were just struggling to have anybody hear your music and no one knows who you are, now all of a sudden famous actress Lindsay Lohan is willing to kiss you and have sex with you and hang out in your tour bus, you're like, oh, this is awesome! And then 2 weeks later, wait, no, this chick's crazy.
Right, exactly.
And she won't leave. Yeah.
Could I move on to another choice, please? We hooked up with, and I don't mean hooked up, I mean we interviewed No Doubt last night. They were the surprise guest on night number 2 of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Always great to see those kids. We love them so much. You know, since day one that we've been playing them here on K-Rock, we've considered them family. And they couldn't be any nicer, and they couldn't be any sweeter, and they couldn't have been more awesome last night. We've got that interview for you coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock, along with a couple of other things from the Acoustic Christmas Weekend. Celebrity birthdays, the great Kenneth Branagh, tremendous actor, maybe even a better director. He is 52 years old today. Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr., who's one of those guys that I know a lot of people early in his career said, dude, you don't sing well enough to be in a band. But he made it work, didn't he?
Yep.
47 years old today. Singer-songwriter Donovan Frankenreiter is 40 today. Meg White, who you will probably never, ever see again.
That's probably true. She retired, right?
I think the White Stripes kind of broke up because she had a lot of anxiety issues about being in public. I think that was part of the deal. And I think she's married now. And
massive cans.
Living in Detroit. And she may never leave her house again. Meg White from the White Stripes is 38 years old today. Emmanuel Shrieky from Entourage is 35. And Raven Simone from That's So Raven and the Cheetah Girls, 27 today, and that's the showbiz beat. Rudy, I think your CD is skipping, man. What's going on? What's happening here?
Got it to swap me, fool.
That's Muse on K-Rock. Of course, they are coming to town. And, you know, next month is January already. They are playing January 23rd and 24th. Third show added January 26th. Tickets go on sale this Friday morning at 10. Go to K-Rock.com for all the details. We'll have tickets for you every day this week on the Kevin Bean Show for Muse. Speaking of concerts. Who had a good time at Acoustic Christmas over the weekend?
I did.
I did, too.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Hell of a lineup. And I'm not just, I don't say that to be self-serving. If the radio station had nothing to do with it, it's an unbelievable array of talent that they got on that stage each night. And thank you to all the bands that performed for us. Thank you to all the people who bought tickets, raised a lot of money for charity. So many highlights to talk about. Let's start with Jack White, who was the act that I was most excited about seeing. Mike, you're a guitar player.
Yes.
What's your thought on Jack White? Genius?
Yes.
Legend?
And this may sound weird for someone who doesn't play, not technically a guy who blows you away. He's not one of these people, you know, like a Steve Vai or something that you go home and you talk about the amazing work he does. But he's such an innovator in his sound and his complete irreverence for, like, the normal rules of guitar. He's definitely a legend.
I feel like he plays what he feels.
Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I mean? That's the thing. I mean, it's almost like he's just channeling his energy through that instrument, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And he loves to play guitar so much that he – well, Dave, you were there last night. What happened at the beginning of his set?
Well, it wasn't even the beginning. It was like after No Doubt was done and everyone's going crazy. You know how we do the on stages to bring out the next act? Well, we're there waiting and the lights are off and all of a sudden we hear jamming going on. And so we're like, okay, are we supposed to go? And then it's go time. So Kevin's trying to introduce Jack White, but – no one could hear Kevin because Jack White's jamming so loud, and the stage hasn't even turned yet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think we have some audio from it, right?
Yeah, and to add insult to injury, Dave spent the prior 40 minutes looking for Kevin and Ralph to get this thing together. He was, yeah. It was the worst thing ever. Yeah, here's the audio.
Does not wait to be introduced.
No one can hear Kevin, by the way. So we're just like, oh, we don't know what to do.
So all right, funny. Let's just, my God.
Props to Kevin for committing.
Yeah. Yeah, he was definitely committing. Kevin was not as committed as perhaps he might have been to the live broadcast that we did on both days, Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, the boy is, and I don't feel bad saying this when he's not in the room because he knows it. He's pretty scattered.
Yeah.
And my favorite moment of the live broadcast when the Kevin Bean was out in front of the Gibson Amphitheater is on Friday. And this, maybe, Mike, you worked with Kevin long enough to try to explain this brain fart. We're playing the latest song from Linkin Park. Here's what Kevin says as the record ends.
The latest from No Doubt?
Nope, not at all. Linkin Park. I'm 106.7.
What's wrong with you? Bring back drunk Kevin instead.
It's Kevin and Bean out in front of the Gibson Amphitheater
for night number one of the 23rd annual.
What is going on with him? How does that happen?
That was like the second break on Saturday, right?
But yeah, it was like really.
Yeah,
it was
super it was right early. Up,
right as far as Kevin Flubs go, though, that one was really lucid.
Like, yeah. You know? That's true, because he didn't get all the words in the right order. The other thing I could think is he might have had No Doubt just on the brain, like we all did, because Saturday night, for folks who didn't hear, Gwen Stefani came out and sang a duet of Glycerin with her husband, Gavin Rosdale from Bush. And by the way, Bush is incredible. 20 years later, they're still amazing. Don't even say it. The band Bush is incredible, Michael. And that was like the first time most of us have ever seen them on a stage together. Yeah. So that was just amazing. So maybe Kevin was just thinking about No Doubt. And then the whole band shows up last night. And they're a super secret surprise. No Doubt goes on unannounced at the Acoustic Christmas Show where they played so many times before. And it was so fun for us to catch up with those guys backstage. You can see this whole video at KROQ.com. But let's play some of it for you right now.
Night number two of the sold out 23rd annual KROQ. What's it called? What's the name of the show?
Almost Acoustic Christmas.
You know, that thing that we do. Special guest tonight, as you just heard here on the radio, is a little band we like to call No Doubt because that's who they are. And we are backstage right before they go on stage. Hi, you guys.
What's up?
You know what? I love being a special guest.
You are a special
that's
guest.
That's my favorite. The surprise special. Is it surprise?
It is surprise. Yes, yes. No one knows.
It's not surprise now because when this airs, everyone will know, right. But no one knows as we speak.
Do you think there's more pressure being a special guest or less pressure?
Zero pressure.
Zero pressure.
Literally. Just no the pressure. Fact that they get to see you, the audience already feels like they won because they didn't plan on seeing you.
It's true.
So
it's true.
You should go out there and suck tonight.
We will.
This is a good opportunity if you're going to suck.
We just played this place 7 nights in a row. And we were just talking about how we're all cramped into one dressing room. Usually we get to spread out.
This is actually my
we
don't dressing have to, room.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really weird having all these men in here.
We don't have to talk to each other all day. We see each other on stage, and that's what keeps us healthy.
I see.
Now we're all like, so it's old school.
This is bad for you?
This is really bad.
Awkward.
Yeah. We've been fighting the whole day.
Is this taking you back to some bad times in the van? I mean, is that what this feels like when you're kind of all
cramped? Adrian actually looks like he smells good, but when you get actually close.
Oh, that's
and
interesting.
And now that he's actually sick, woo!
Yeah, I can imagine. By the way, how was 7 nights here, and why play 7 shows when you could play a bigger place for one show and do just as many
why
people?
Did we do
that
was actually
question.
Jim.
We should ask our manager.
Our
that.
Manager had a really bad idea. Just try to wear us out.
Yeah.
It was like, man, we could have played way more places.
You guys have always been great effort. To K-Rock since, you know, back in the day, but to do something like this when you're done and you're off and it's the holidays, thank you, first of all. But why? Why are you guys here?
Today, right now? Today?
Yeah. Like, why are you doing this?
What are you talking about?
No, you don't have to.
Everybody,
this is awesome.
Every band in the whole world wants to play this tonight.
This is
the show. This is what you grow up wanting to play. This is the first time we played this. I actually met my husband here, so it's very nostalgic for me. And It's just, it's like, right. It's just like, it's so this is fun. The night
it's
of the year.
It's still magical, even after all these years.
I think so. Yeah. This is like the night of the year.
Was that when we played first for 20 minutes?
Yeah, I think it was 15 minutes.
Was it 15?
My story always says 15 minutes.
How early were you guys on the bill the first time you played acoustic?
We might have been first. Yeah.
First.
We were first. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We worked our way up.
You did.
We earned this.
You did.
We earned the 40 minutes we got.
Tony, I've seen you about every Acoustic Christmas, I think. You're here whether or not. And I would always ask you, when?
I got to tell you, this feels like home to us. Like, obviously, we've grown up on K-Rock. To be played on K-Rock was such a big deal for us. And to be here playing is always a big deal for us.
It's still a big deal.
Well, we love having you guys. You're one of the bands that helped us build the station, so thank you.
We might be en Espanol right now if it weren't for you guys, right? It got pretty close there for a while. But isn't it kind of great to see that rock music has made such a resurgence, like in this last year? I don't know if you saw the Grammy nominations the other night, but it's like half the bands we play on K-Rock now, whether it's, you know, Muse or Mumford & Sons or Black Keys or Fun, I mean, that stuff is happening again. For a long time, it wasn't.
It's true. We were watching all the bands right now on the screen, and it's awesome to see bands playing.
It's a wonderful time. Yeah. Wonderful time for music. And real quick, because you mentioned your husband. Let's talk about last night for a second.
That was amazing.
That was another surprise moment for folks who didn't hear. Gwen came out and sang some Glycerin. Now, we have not seen that for a long time.
No, we've only ever done it like twice before that. And so it was a really big deal. And we, you know, just because I had said to him, I'm like, oh my gosh, I met you 17 years ago backstage, not this dressing room, like the other dressing room right down there. Mm-hmm. And I took Kingston in there. I was like, this is where I met your dad. And I got shot with an arrow. and then I was like, we have to do something together. And then he didn't answer me for like 2 days. And then he kept bringing it up. I was like, oh no, it's going to be hard. So we just sat on Friday night. We just sat in our kitchen together, and we just learned it, which is really weird. We never do music together. So he's actually back in that room right now.
You have him hidden in the room?
He's back there.
Wow.
That must have been super fun.
It was
got to be
super
fun for the kids.
And I was so nervous and scared because I just didn't know the words that I thought you'd think you'd know them after all these years.
Of course.
It's not my song, so I didn't really know them. And I was like, oh man. But it was really fun.
It was a super sweet moment, and then the little kiss at the end, the audience went, aww. You know? So, all right, we're going to say goodbye, but tell us about 2013. You've had an unbelievable 2012. What's next for y'all?
What are we going to do? We're going back in the studio, actually.
We are?
Yeah, we're going to go. I'm going in the studio tomorrow. These guys already were in this week. So we're just going to do some new music and possibly tour next summer.
You guys are in a super, like, creative, happy place right now.
We are. It's fun. You know what? Music is so fun now because you can actually just go in and make a song and put it out if you want.
You can do that. We can't do that.
Well, no, anyone can, actually. Well, just put it up on the internet. Have you heard that thing?
I haven't heard of it, no.
Merry Christmas to all of you and all of your families and all of your many kids.
Thank you.
And we'll see you guys at K-Rock Studios. Awesome. No doubt, everybody. Come on. Let's hear it for them.
Yay!
A lot of people really sad, spoiler alert here, to see Manny Pacquiao's head hit the canvas on Saturday night in Las Vegas. A lot of people really sad to see that happen. Sam, the Armenian comedian, who apparently is friends with Manny Pacquiao, I don't know how that's possible.
This is bizarre.
Was at the fight. It is going to be our Kevin Bean boxing correspondent next hour. We're going to be talking to Sam and find out what that was like and what the conversation was he had with Manny afterwards that led him to tell us that Manny threw the fight.
Yeah. Watch out, Jim Lampley. There's a new boxing correspondent on the scene.
So that's next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The great Betty White joins us next hour, too. That's Psycho Mike Catherwood helping me out today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Michael.
Hey, now.
We talked a little while ago with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com about these Australian radio hosts who got involved. Well, they bit off more than they could chew with the prank phone call to the hospital where Kate Middleton is having a baby. She, of course, is married to the man who will one day be the King of England, if you don't recognize the name. And they basically got through and did a wacky voice bit where they pretended to be the Queen and Prince Philip. And they probably thought they'd get a little fame out of that, maybe.
Sure.
Might spike their listenership a little bit.
Sure.
The last thing they expected is that the woman who answered the phone on the other end of the phone, the receptionist, would commit suicide 2 days after they called.
I truly, like, because, look, we all do crazy pranks. You know, it's part of our job here. I just feel so bad for those guys because, like you said, that's the last thing on their mind. And now they got to live with that for the rest of
even the rest, the blood on their hands, as people are saying on the on their internet page, before everything was taken down, before their Twitter account was taken down, they were taken off the website.
They never existed.
Now they've been suspended. So the phone topic today, and I don't know that we've ever done this before. That's a crazy, extreme example of a prank gone wrong. But let's face it. Lots of people, hundreds of thousands of people have played a prank on someone that they thought was just going to be funny
and it ended up being wrong. We don't want to hear from you if somebody died, by the way. Please don't call if somebody died. That's not what we're looking for. But somebody got hurt, somebody got fired, somebody got in trouble. Those are the stories we want to hear about at 1-800-520-1067, a prank gone wrong. You know, like, let's just say, you put something in somebody's food because you think it's going to be hilarious to watch your friend eat this thing, but then you find out he's got some deadly allergic reaction to it, he ends up in the hospital. Right. I mean, that type of thing. There was a story a couple of days ago about a magician who's not well known to me, but apparently he's got a fan base. His name is Wayne Hushin. He was on television in the Dominican Republic. For some reason, the host of the television show that he was appearing on thought, in an apparently unscripted prank, as the news report later said, thought it would be funny to put a flammable liquid on his head and set his hair on fire.
Oh, my God. Why is that funny?
How does that seem like a prank that's not going to go awry? It seems like the intention of that prank would be to set a dude's hair on fire, and that's bad, right?
Oh, man.
That's hot.
Well, apparently his crew rushed to save him and put out the flames, but he suffered burns to his head, his face, his neck, his hands. I don't know what that TV host was expecting, but he just thought it would be a wacky prank. And maybe he thought it was one of those things where it burns for a second and then you put it out real quick and it's just, hey, look what I did to you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He does not understand how fire works.
Make you look like Freddy Krueger. Who's in? All right. Fired up 45 minutes past the hour.
That's more the kind of prank that we're looking for. So you did something. You played a practical joke on somebody that you thought was just for the ha-has, and then it just it turned out to be so much worse than you thought. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. Hey, real quick, put line one on hold for me. I want to take one call here real quick before the break. We got a caller who's dialing in with us. Line one, on hold.
On hold.
Just real quick while they're vamping. I've been the victim of a prank gone wrong where my 21st birthday, I got so hammered. My friends drew on my face, you know, which is common.
Mm-hmm.
But they drew things like how much I love certain male organs, and they drew male organs all over my face. I woke up late for work. The owner of the house was not home. I didn't realize they had drawn on me. I went straight to the store to get like some water on my way to work and had all this all over my face.
I had no idea.
And I really like ended up alienating myself from like the local market at my hometown in San Marino. Yeah. Yeah. It was like, I mean, I had really offensive stuff written on my face.
Yeah.
Chalky Sharpie.
And they didn't mean for anyone else to see that. No. They just meant for you to wake up, walk in the bathroom, see it in the mirror and think they got me.
Man.
Right. All right. Line one. Caller. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Hey, Kevin Bean.
What happened, dude? Prank gone wrong.
Basically, we were during lunch, and so, my friends were dogfighting on this one guy, and suddenly I ran, and I was weighing 250 pounds at the time, and in the middle of the air, everyone moved out of the way, and I landed on the guy's ACL. Yeah, he went to the hospital after that.
So you guys, you and your friends were just dogpiling on a guy just horsing around.
At lunch?
Yeah.
Do you work in a bathhouse?
Not at 12th grade, man.
Oh, okay.
And he ended up tearing his ACL or breaking his ACL. Was he in the hospital? Like, how long is the recovery for something like that?
He missed the whole semester for the school, entire school year.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
What ended up happening afterwards is that, from what I heard, he had made a debt list, and he had put me on the top five people that he wanted to kill later on in life.
Well,
remind me of a rest of a dog kind of thing. You know what I mean?
I would say that is, in fact, a prank gone wrong. Thank you very much for calling us. 1-800, and by the way, go Raiders. 1-800-520-1067. We'll hear your stories next after this on the world famous. Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 106.7 KROQ. Thanks a lot for tuning in. 7:41. So I got my Catherwood filling in for everybody today.
Yeah.
No one showed up after the stupid concerts over the weekend. Right now, though, we're talking about pranks gone wrong. By now, you've heard about the Australian radio DJs who lost their job and will forever live with knowing that wacky phone call that they made to the hospital ended up being responsible partly, maybe, for somebody losing her life.
Yeah.
That's not what they intended. So we're taking your stories where no one died of how a prank went wrong. You're going to love this one, Mike. Let's go to Brian. He's line two, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for calling. Thank you for hanging on. What happened?
Hey, party people. Hey, Lisa May.
Hey, Nick.
This is like 20 years ago when Palm Springs was still big for spring break. My guy friends and I were cruising the strip, and we had a water gun and sprayed some gals in a convertible next to us. They proceeded to make a left-hand turn and hit a bicyclist who flew up in the air.
Oh,
and that was as a result of you squirting them as they made that maneuver.
Yeah, she did her left turn totally blind. We were watching on the news. We were freaking out. We watched the news later. He was okay. Minor injuries, thank God.
Oh,
I love that you kept driving, that you didn't stick around to see what happened.
Oh, hell, we thought we were going to be in trouble. We thought we were going to have to leave the city soon.
Yeah, you don't want to screw up spring break. Come on. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it, Brian. Let's go to Wellner, line five. Wellner. Yeah, they just thought they're flirting with a chick, and the next thing you know, they're causing an accident. That's not what they had in mind. Hey, Wellner, what's going on?
Yeah, one time I was driving down Ventura Boulevard in the valley with my cousin, and we used to love rolling down our windows and scaring people, just screaming and shouting. They'd freak out. One time we did it to this guy getting his car. The guy flipped. He tailed us down. We didn't even know until about maybe two blocks later. He cuts off all traffic in the middle of the intersection, gets out his car, and starts kicking my cousin's car like crazy. It was ridiculous.
Oh, my God. The last thing you think is somebody's going to come after you for doing that.
Exactly. So that was the last time. I guess I learned my lesson.
That's terrible.
You're lucky you didn't have a golf club.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Colin. He's on line seven. And based on what little I know about the story he's going to tell us, he's a dick. Colin,
hey guys.
Prank gone wrong. What happened?
Hey, so a couple years back, I was at camp, and a couple friends and I, we find a laxative in the bunk, actually. And I have these powdered Gatorade packets, so I was like, sweet, we can put the laxative in a water bottle, in some water, and put some Gatorade in it and give it to this kid. I mean, we didn't really like the kid, so we thought it would be really funny.
All right, so hold on a second. Let me stop you there. So you're already a kid when you're doing – you're a kid doing this to another kid.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. Now I get it. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. So I give him the packets, a hot day, give him the laxative. A couple hours later, he's in the toilet, you know, doing his thing. And, like, during the night, he ends up in the infirmary, like, at the camp, and he has to go to the hospital and get his stomach pumped with insulin.
Oh.
And then the next day, the cops come, and there's a big deal.
Why did he have such a violent reaction to laxatives?
See, that was my question. I really don't know, you know.
I'm assuming he had some type of, either not diabetes or some type of... Yeah. You know, kind of
metabolic.
Yeah, some type of hormone-based condition that much fiber brought his blood sugar down.
How much trouble did you get in as a result of that prank?
I mean, it was more of a fear thing. Like the cops came and like they had the microphone to my face and they were like, "Anything you say, dude."
That's not what you were counting on.
I was crying. It was really awful.
Was the kid at least fat?
The kid was not fat.
Oh, because that would have made it right for you, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Because you'd lose some weight. All right, thank you, Kyle. I appreciate it. Let's do one more. I don't even know what's going on with John here on line eight, but this sounds extremely elaborate. John, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. What did you do?
A whole bunch of friends of mine, we hate Twilight. So what we did was we rented a movie theater in Santa Monica the same night as the premiere about 2 years ago. So what we did was we sent all these emails. Like 250 people showed up. We had cameras, we had photographers, we had limited passes, we had security. So all these people were getting drunk in the bar. They all go in this movie theater, and we come out, we tell them it's a huge prank. Oh, the place went nuts. I mean, people were ripping down posters off walls. People were just slamming glasses in the bar on the way out. And the police ended up showing up, and it was a huge, huge mess. And people were threatening us over emails.
John, it's not that I doubt your story, but why would you go to such elaborate lengths to prank strangers and such expense? Well, and how did you even rent a movie theater in Santa Monica? That had to cost you a penny.
Actually, the guy did it real cheap, and we all hated Twilight, and we actually filmed everything, and we put it on on YouTube. That's what we really wanted to do. We wanted something that would go viral, so we filmed it.
Did you get in trouble?
No, actually not. A bunch of people who actually were tearing down things in the movie theater got in trouble.
And the cops were calling the whole deal.
Cops were calling the whole deal. I mean, there was probably over a dozen cop cars.
Well, this doesn't sound like a prank gone wrong. This sounds like exactly what you were hoping would happen.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, we didn't think people would tear the movie theater down, but it was funny. I mean, these people were like so – because we promised them that the cast was going to show up and that they were going to meet everybody.
I am surprised you weren't held responsible. If nothing else, just the cost of the cops.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good, well, like, why didn't they charge you for that? But
I know there was actually a person who flew in from Wisconsin.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Okay, I think he's a dick.
You can go see it on YouTube. It's funny as hell. It's
all right, John. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. It's the world famous K-Rock. Well, thank you, Lisa. Loveline Loverboy. Mike Catherwood, co-host of Loveline, five nights a week here on K-Rock, filling in for Ralph Garman with the show. His beat here on a Monday. What's going on, Michael?
Oh, let's open up with the weekend box office as it is a Monday. Skyfall.
Still knocking people at the box. Number one in the box office
again. I have not gone yet, and yet I intend to.
Super good, Lisa.
It's a good movie.
Super good.
I know.
Javier Bardem, the best part. He's the best.
I'm very excited about it.
Don't start doing your friend do comedy, please.
No.
We'll never get out of here alive if you start doing your friend do comedy.
But he it is fantastic that he likes, I took the cyanide pills because I wanted to kill myself, but life, it clung to me like a disease. Who is this man walking in, by the way?
Carson Daly. John Moore here,
Carson
man.
Carson Daly, come have a seat.
Carson
I'm gonna
Daly?
Finish.
Yeah, we'll finish in a minute.
Yeah. I'm going to finish up the weekend box office and then allow Carson to elaborate on something that is very hot in the news right now. Rise of the Guardians, number two. What is that?
That is an animated movie about all of like the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and everybody like that living together.
Twilight Saga, number three. Lincoln, still strong at number four with 9.1 million. Life of Pi and Playing for Keeps. Those are the top six movies in the box office this weekend. Carson Daly, hello.
Hello, good morning, everybody.
Carson,
hello.
Of course, does mornings at Amp Radio, and he is one of the hosts of The Voice, NBC, Monday and Tuesday night. Speaking of The Voice, you're one of your contemporaries, I guess, colleagues, Jenny Rivera, who is a judge on The Voice in Mexico. Terrible.
Terrible.
Awful. Tragic news. When we saw the report that there was that plane missing yesterday, we all feared the worst.
Yeah.
And that ended up, they found out that nobody survived. She and her entourage, all of them gone.
We were so sad to get that news yesterday. And I think a lot of people, maybe even KROQ listeners, aren't that familiar with her. We weren't over at Amp Radio. We have a pretty heavy Hispanic listenership at Amp. So we were turned. I got a buddy, Flavio Morales, and I worked at KROQ when I did nights here back in like 1996. Mm-hmm. Flavio's gone on to become a pretty high up at Mundos at the network, and I work at NBC. So in the NBC Universal family is Mundos, and he was like, man, you guys should check out this I Love Jenny show. Yeah. It's like this modern Family Kardashians, but it's like all, it's just really good. It's got a heart. Jenny Rivera's at the center of it.
And she's personality plus, right?
She's the most prominent recording artist of regional Mexican music. She sold over 20 million records. She's like, you know, businesswoman galore. So we had her on Amp Radio. We fell in love with her. She couldn't have been cooler. She's from Long Beach, Mexican immigrant parents. She's like the story. Super smart, down to earth as all life. We've loved her. And we've had her on as a guest on the show several times since. Became friendly with her.
And so young, what, 43?
43.
And she leaves behind several children.
Five kids, two grandkids.
Oh, my.
But, you know, as much as she was this, you know, sort of prolific artist and an entrepreneur. I mean, she really was, and this is kind of what we connected with her. You know, she was a mom first and foremost, and that's really probably the hardest part about this whole thing. I mean, but just sad. I mean, the idea of flying out. You know, we were talking about like the Aaliyah crash when that happened, and the Hype Williams video shoot in the Bahamas. That was something that, you know, Aaliyah was reported to want to get to a party. They wrapped the video shoot early. The equipment, the plane they flew in on wasn't the one they flew out on. They were packing it with equipment. They needed a pilot. They got like a day hire. That guy was high on coke, went to jail. I mean, that you read about these things with celebrities and private jets, and that one it was shady from the get-go. This one, 3:15 in Monterey, Mexico on a Lear 25, that thing takes off. 10 minutes down the road, she's 60 miles. So imagine taking off out of Santa Monica on a Lear 25. You're at Riverside in 10 minutes. I mean, this thing must have been at 20,000 feet. It's got collision warnings. It's full avionics. I mean, they're going through the details now of the wreckage.
Yeah, they don't know what caused it, right, at all.
It was spread 3 football fields wide, which means it hit at a pretty fast rate. And the pilot was 78 years old, which is, I think, noteworthy.
Yeah, that's interesting.
The plane is also 43 years old and didn't have a great track record. These are the details that are coming out this morning.
Well, it's so sad, and it reminds me a few years back, and some of our listeners will remember when Selena died, and she was, you know, just on the brink of breaking through to the mainstream. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel that's where Jenny was.
Is for
like,
sure.
Because ABC was in development talks with her to put her on the schedule.
Yeah, she had a comedy, Jenny, that was in development there at ABC. Yeah.
So it's a terrible loss. And as you mentioned, I mean, a lot of people may not know the name, but she sold out Staples Center last year. You mentioned 20 million records. She's got this, all these TV shows and everything. Real sad.
Yeah,
super sad.
Terrible,
and it's tough for a guy like you who now has spent some time with her and liked her,
That's the thing, is that how many celebrities come in here that we just don't give a rat's ass about?
Right.
You know, and they're all about them. You know, it's just you can size them up in a minute.
Yeah.
I've done, think of the thousands of interviews I've done on the radio, and it's like, finally, here comes a woman who has her S together.
Yeah.
And like we really had a connection with her, and it does have that tinge of like, oh man, like tragedy hit one of the good ones,
right?
And that makes that why even harder.
I know, when Jenny's gone and Beer Mug's still alive, it makes you think.
My point.
Just, there's no God.
Here's my
there's
point.
Just
no, standing right here.
I know you're on the radio.
I gotta go.
Down
I just put
hall,
Lady
but...
Gaga on repeat. So I gotta run.
Good to see you, dude.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
You too, Mike.
Thanks. Merry Christmas, Carson.
Thank you.
Great to see you. All right, Mike. We got time for one more.
All right, Kim Kardashian. Sorry, we're talking about so many sad topics.
Getting...
I'm sorry, I'm getting a little
Are you
misty-eyed.
Crying,
yeah.
Michael? What's happening
wrong
over there?
Look,
it's okay.
Not only is Poor Jenny Rivera gone. Kim Kardashian, her cat died.
What happened now?
Her cat died?
She tweeted the bad news that Little Mercy has passed away. That's when? Right, she named her song after a Kanye song. Or named her cat after a Kanye song, and her cat was named Mercy. The cat is gone, Lisa May.
Well, how long had she had Mercy?
I don't know.
How did Mercy die?
Mercy died from a cancer-like virus often associated with breeding. Why would you be breeding a cat if you're Kim Kardashian?
You mean Mercy was not rescued?
No, she was not.
Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm sure she was some fine cat that they bought at some fine breeder that they bought at
Kanye West probably bought this cat for Kim for $1 million.
Yo, Kim, I just went to the YSL store to get me some boots. Picked you up a cat. What?
You don't think I feel bad?
I'm so thirsty. I got you a cat.
Well,
it's
very sad.
Louis Vuitton collar on the cat. Cat be dead. Stupid bitch. Speaking of cats, real quick, Demi Moore.
We don't have time for Demi Moore.
Okay, all right. Well, Demi Moore blowing up Page Six because she's now like having some midlife crisis where she's all over town.
She's single now, and she's like partying, and she's out dancing every night, right?
Showed up with a Chanel party yesterday in a barbecue on the beach with a stray cat that she just found on the way, and then started dancing aimlessly. I bring this up
weird.
Not only because she's crazy and old, but she, I don't know if you've seen the picture of her gigantic vagina hair.
What? What?
Well, we're talking about
how did this conversation turn? I thought we were talking about her dancing.
About Demi Moore and felines. Some pictures were leaked earlier this year from a French nude photo shoot she did when she was very young. It was like the early 80s.
Uh-huh.
If I encountered that level of pubic hair when I was dating, I'd go gay.
Really? Was it that offensive to you?
I've never seen
it. It's just hair.
Whatever you're doing, even if you're driving an automobile, Google search Demi Moore vagina pictures.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That
just happened.
There's the president before this current one, Lisa May.
Yes.
President, what was it?
Bush?
Uh-huh. Google that alongside Demi Moore. And I'm telling you, you will be shocked.
But this isn't just like a lot of ladies, that was the style in the 70s and early 80s. You're saying it's beyond that?
I grew up in an era where I watched adult films where these women had that type of grooming. This is next level. This looks like it's a joke. This looks like it's one of like Borat's sisters that he would show pictures to people at like a fine country gentleman's dinner.
So this is so far from hardwood floors that we're talking super shag carpet.
Like you think they put a weave in.
It's like Santa Claus's face.
Understood.
Oh my God. Right.
That isn't good for you.
I'm glad that we got that Demi Moore pubic hair update, Michael. Thank you very much.
And that is the Ralph Garman Showbiz Beat.
Black Keys on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Hey, if you love the rock music, why not go to KROQ.com this morning starting at 10 o'clock? You can see night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas from Saturday night, and then tomorrow morning at 10, you'll see night number two. So you'll see all the acts that you missed if you weren't able to get tickets to be there in person. Again, details at KROQ.com. Psycho Mike Catherwood?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Let's talk about this hour on the Kevin Bean Show for 1 minute,
shall we?
Let's talk about how the Armenian comedian was in Manny Pacquiao's corner in Las Vegas Saturday night for the fight. He joins us in about 15 minutes to talk about that.
I'm brimming with excitement to
Let's
talk to
Sam. Also talk about one of my all-time crushes, and I mean that in the most respectful possible way. Mm-hmm. The great Betty White joins us in about a half an hour here on the Kevin Bean Show.
Yeah, well, that's understandable to follow up Sam the Armenian Comedian with Betty White.
It only makes perfect
famous
sense.
Famous for 40 years.
Betty White, who's been nominated for 20-something Emmys, by the way, in her long career. 20-something Emmys. It's ridiculous.
That's impressive.
First, though, I don't know why Mole is on the phone. We haven't talked to him in like a billion years, but Mole, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mike and Bean, you know who it is?
Yeah, it's Mole, right?
Nope, it's Mole. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi, Mole.
Hey, am I the 1,000th caller? You want to hear the phrase that pays? Hey, Santa, I've been good all year.
We don't have...
how does he do it?
Did I win the tickets to the acoustic sing-along show?
First of all, we don't have a contest at all like that. There's no phrase that pays. There's no caller 1,000. Second of all, you're...
What about win with the sticker, stick with the winner?
We're not doing that either. We're not ruling the pools in the schools. We're not doing any of that. And you know, obviously, Mole, that Acoustic Christmas was this weekend, so that's past.
No, not this time.
Mole, we talked about it on the radio for a month leading up to the show. You know when it was. It was Saturday and Sunday night. It's done.
You know what? I, for one, am sick of this war on Christmas concerts. And I swear to God, I gotta start writing things down, and I gotta stop huffing Lysol.
I agree with that. But it's not a war on Christmas. We love Christmas. We love all of the holidays, and we already had a great party over the weekend.
How was the show? Did the killers kill anyone?
No, they're just
total false advertising, right? Same thing I bet with Monsters and Men. Probably all men.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. No monsters. It's just the name of a band is all.
Unless you do some bad Lysol, then they look like monsters.
Well, can I ask, why Lysol? You're a grown man. Can't you get regular drugs?
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Did Gwen Stefani and her husband sing together like they always do?
Okay, it was the first time in over 10 years Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rosdale appeared together on stage. But yes, that happened Saturday night.
That is so embarrassing for their kids.
Why?
Imagine if your mom showed up in a belly shirt.
Okay,
oh
but
my God.
She doesn't look like
Have
Gwen.
You seen Gwen Stefani? She looks incredible in a belly shirt.
You know what? My mom once brought me a liverwurst sandwich, the muffler place where I worked, and she ended up nailing Steve, the transmission guy, so I can totally relate, okay?
It wasn't like that at all. It was perfectly fine.
Hey, you know what? I have a pretty decent idea. How about I cruise over now, we get a head start on Weenie Roast or something, I'll just hang out till it starts.
I don't think that would be a good idea, Mole. That's too. It's not until like June, so we're going to say no. We're going to pass. Wow. Thank you, though. Listen.
Hey, well, let me ask you this. Is Bean still giving away his organs? Can I get his tonsils?
Yes, he is.
I lost mine when I was little. Come on. I've been good all year. Remember from before?
Oh, we'll look at the clock. We'll look at the time. Mole, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you missed the show. I'm glad to talk to you, though. Merry Christmas, and thanks for calling.
You owe me Lysol once.
All right. I don't know. I can't explain it either. You heard it. We played. I don't know. Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock for a Monday huge sports weekend. Our friend Andrew Siciliano joins us next hour to talk about the NFL action. If you had the Cardinals plus 60, then you won that bet, but that's about the only way. Another big thing that happened in sports was Saturday night. A lot of people were really looking forward to the Manny Pacquiao fight. You know, he has been just the dominant fighter for, the last 8 or 9 years, would you say, Mike?
Certainly in that weight class. Yeah.
And this is another rematch with him and Juan Marquez. They fought. This is the fourth time now. The first one was a draw, and then they had the rematch, and then Manny just barely won that one on a decision. And then the third one, the exact same thing happened again. So they fought again. What do you think happened? Manny Pacquiao. Hit the ground. Boom!
Beer Mike and I were talking. There's
Done.
Knockouts, and then there's. It looked like Manny got shot by a sniper.
Yeah,
I mean, he
did.
All the
wow,
bones out of
really?
His body got removed in 1 second. He got demolished. I mean, it was a brutal, brutal,
brutal
knockout.
Like one of the greatest takedowns in boxing history. I mean, Lisa, the ref didn't even count to 10. All the ref did was run to Manny to see if he was alive.
Oh my God!
The fight was so over before he hit the ground.
Right.
In Manny Pacquiao's corner, and I'm not in any way suggesting that this might have been a distraction for the man, but was his close personal friend Sam, the Armenian comedian. And how did that happen? I don't know.
Yeah.
But Sam was in Las Vegas, and he was ringside, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Sam, good morning.
Good morning, Bean. First of all, I want to tell you how you've been. I heard about your kidney donation.
Thank you, Sam. I'm doing great. It's been 3 weeks past. I'm recovering. The recipient is doing great as well. Thank you for asking.
Hey, I appreciate it for the moment that you're giving me about the fight. You know, I was there. I saw it.
Now, Sam, before you talk about Saturday night, please explain to all of us how you know Manny Pacquiao personally. How are you guys friends?
First of all, the wild card boxing club, Freddie Roach, that he trains Manny Pacquiao. We have the same shopping center, our hair salon. You know, so Manny Pacquiao is friends with my wife for all these years.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. So he invited you to be his guest Saturday in Las Vegas. What was that like? That must have been very exciting.
Yeah, not only this year, it's been happening ever since he came to America, gave us tickets.
That's amazing.
And we've been enjoying it all these years, yes.
That's incredible. All right, tell me about what your experience was like Saturday night, sitting there watching your friend get knocked out.
Listen, I'm a backgammon player. I'm a sports fan, boxing fan. I know about boxing, and I was figuring out Juan Marquez is going to come back and hit a spot that he didn't do the job these few times that they were fighting. So I was figuring out before it happened that he might get this time because there's a spot that that Manny Pacquiao didn't know about.
All right,
no, Sam, what on God's green earth are you talking about?
I think I speak Armenian. Sam, what you're saying is you've watched enough of these two fighters together to see a weakness in Pacquiao that maybe he didn't realize was there, that he was exposing himself somehow and giving Marquez an opening.
He was like controversy point, yes.
I don't know what that I don't know what the controversy Christ. Point is. So you weren't surprised to see Pacquiao get knocked out?
I wasn't surprised because I knew what was going to happen.
Well, why didn't you tell him? He's your friend. Why didn't you give him a heads up? Why didn't you say, hey, Manny, listen, here's what's going to happen?
I'm not there. My wife is mostly there. I am working somewhere else. And Manny Pacquiao is all, my wife is there all the time. I've been telling her to tell him that this is what's going to happen. She doesn't care. She's a woman. What else?
What else? Oh, exactly. Lisa? Right on.
Lisa? Wow.
Who's with Sam?
Wow.
She's a woman.
By the way, Sam, let me ask you this. Did you see Mitt Romney at the fight?
Mitt Romney
was at the fight. Did you see him? He was sitting like in the second row. He was invited by, I guess, one of his big supporters when he ran for president was the head of the Nevada Boxing Commission, the athletic commission there. So he was there. And Mike, did you hear this story? So he went backstage. So Mitt Romney goes back to Manny Pacquiao's dressing room.
Okay.
And this is a quote, all right, as closely as I can remember it, overheard in the box room. He introduces himself to Manny Pacquiao and he says, "Hi, Manny, I ran for president and I lost." That's how he introduces himself to Manny Pacquiao. Now, why do you put the losing stink on somebody before he gets into the ring to fight? You want winners only backstage at a fight, don't you?
I get, yeah. And there is a lot of other achievements he could have pointed to,
yes,
right?
Yes, he could have said, yeah.
I ran the Olympics.
I'm a super successful businessman.
It's like O.J. Simpson meeting and go, I'm a Heisman Trophy winner.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you don't start with the bad stuff.
Yeah, you go right to murder.
It's just weird that Mitt Romney would be hanging out. It's weirder that Sam would be hanging out with Manny Pacquiao, but it's weird that Mitt Romney was there.
Yeah, it was. Well, anyway, I wasn't a VIP guest, you know.
Oh,
You have to be VIP and go backstage.
I understand. You didn't get to go backstage.
Sam, did you, even though you blamed it on your wife, who's just a woman, you reminded us, did you have a chance to maybe talk to Manny leading up to the fight at all? Did you give him some type of warning that he was going to possibly get knocked out?
No, I couldn't. I'm not over there at all.
Right, because your wife is the one sleeping with him. You're just paying for it. I understand. All right. Yeah. Did you tell somebody over the weekend that you thought Manny Pacquiao may have thrown the fight?
No, I couldn't touch anybody. You know, I couldn't get in touch with anybody because the crowd, the pushment and all that.
Okay.
Yeah, they have to go this section that way, that section that way. We were all sitting...
good information.
Yes. Yeah. Sam, hardly relevant. He asked, did you ever at any time believe that Manny Pacquiao threw the fight? Do you think that he did it on purpose as some type of plan?
No. It was like a controversy fighters that they get trained to rematch this thing, and it was like what happened was...
Okay. We're actually out of time, but it was controversy fighters like they trained to rematch, right?
One more thing.
Yes, real quick. Yes.
The Mexican people, they were over chanting like, ole, 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 oh, Marquez, Marquez, and Filipino people, and they're not doing anything. So whatever happened is there is no encouragement. They gave a lot of encouragement to Marquez instead of Manny.
Oh, so Manny needs a better cheering section if they have a fifth fight then.
Right.
Okay.
There was no cheering at all for Manny.
All right. Okay. Understood. All right, Sam. Well, listen, we're out of time. We don't even have time for a joke, unfortunately, because we have another guest lined up here. But I'm glad that you went to the fight. I'm glad you had a good time. Anything else you want to say before we go? Because this might be the last time we talk to you this year.
I want to have my own show.
Okay. Yeah. Good luck with that. Grammy Darlings, fun right there on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ, one of the great highlights of the Acoustic Christmas shows over the weekend. No Doubt was a special guest last night. Mm-hmm. Kevin Bean, that's us. We got a chance to catch up with them backstage. We have that interview for you in the 9 o'clock hour. Plus, we'll talk Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. Mike, I sometimes think that I've been doing this job for a long time, been working here at K-Rock, put in my time.
Sure.
And then I think about Betty White, and I think about how she started on television in 1939.
Really?
Unbelievable.
You guys. And she's been a star ever since. And she's America's sweetheart, and she's maybe more popular today than she's ever been. She's won 7 Emmys, Mike Catherwood. She's been nominated for 20.
That's truly unbelievable.
And she's a genuinely good person who loves the animals. And I can't tell you what a huge thrill it is to welcome for the first time on the Kevin and Bean Show, the great Betty White.
Yes.
Here on K-Rock. Hi, Miss White.
Hi. And it's Betty. It's not Miss White.
Oh, you're so kind. It's a thrill to have you on the program. And I mean that with all sincerity. And the reason you're calling us today is because you're making a personal appearance at the Barnes & Noble store at the Grove in Los Angeles. You're going to be there tonight at 7 o'clock signing copies of what, Betty?
My book that Tom Sullivan and I wrote, of our book that Tom Sullivan and I wrote. And it's Betty and Friends, My Life at the Zoo. I think I'm talking to another animal lover. I mean, anybody who has 6 dogs and sheep and pigs is an animal lover.
Yes. Look, I think, yeah, and this is one of the reasons I've admired you for so long, because I know the work that you've done for decades on behalf of animals and with the Humane Society and the personal contributions you've made and the work that you've done at the zoo for decades in Los Angeles. And I think you can tell as much about a person with how they treat animals as any other way. That to me is like the number one thing I look for in a good person.
And can't you always tell if somebody will say, oh, I love animals, and then you watch their hands on the animals. Sometimes they pat, you know, just you use them flat and kind of pat hard, and you know that they're not really committed to animals. It's the guys who just sit there and kind of knead and pet. And
yeah.
And it's funny how you judge, you shouldn't judge people that way, but you judge people that way about how they feel about kids.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. How did it start with you and animals? Was it as simple as you fell in love with your childhood dog, or was it something else?
It was in the womb. My mother and father were just as big animal nuts as I am. And my best friends always had a leg on each corner.
Tell me about all the work that you've done at the zoo for, as I mentioned, for many, many years. And I know that you are down there all the time, and they let you, you know, you practically run the place, Betty. They let you in the cages. Has there ever been a close call when you've been out walking an elephant or hanging out with an orangutan or anything like that? Has it ever gotten out of control for you?
No. I've only been hurt by an animal one time, and that was by a swan, of all things. I was driving, my husband was doing a summer stock show, and so while he was rehearsing, I took a ride up through this beautiful country in Michigan, and there were swans on the river that I was driving by. And I stopped and got out and went over to get a better look at the swans, and I must have passed a nest, because this swan came at me and hit me in the thigh with his or her wing, and it was like being hit by a baseball bat.
Wow.
He could have broken my leg.
Wow.
But it was, of all things, by a swan, and it was my own fault. He was only protecting his territory, and I was intruding into his area without knowing it.
Wouldn't that have been a terrible, tragic ending to your story as a lifelong animal lover if you got killed by one?
I don't think I'd get killed by a swan, but I could be kind of maimed by one, and he could laugh at me for the rest of my life.
The book is called Betty and Friends, My Life at the Zoo. We're talking to Betty White on the phone right now. The in-store is going to be tonight at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove in Los Angeles. They are asking, by the way, that you get a wristband earlier in the day. You can, starting around 15 minutes or so is when they open up the wristbands, but throughout the day they'll be giving out wristbands, and that'll give you a spot in line to meet Betty in person as she signs the books. Let me ask you something else, Betty, since we have you on the line here.
Uh-huh.
I mentioned when I brought you on that you've been working in show business since you were a teenager, and you've had so many high points. Huge success with the Mary Tyler Moore Show, huge success with the Golden Girls, even now with the Super Bowl commercials and the Facebook campaigns and doing Saturday Night Live. At what point in your life did you feel like you were the most famous, where you got recognized the most walking down the street in your long career?
Well, how's last night?
Really?
Yeah.
Hot in Cleveland. I'm doing Hot in Cleveland and Off the Rockers, and doing the two shows means that you reach, you know, different audiences. So everybody is so nice and so kind, and I do appreciate it. But I'm 90 and having the time. Well, I'm almost 91. I'll be 91 next month,
mm-hmm.
And I just am having the time of my life. How lucky can an old broad get?
And I know you love show business, but what makes you not want to slow down a little bit? Why, like, for instance, why do you have two different shows on the air right now? That seems like more work than a much younger person would even want to take on.
Oh, first of all, I love what I do, but I have to stay in show business to pay for my animal business.
There you go.
And Ms. White, Betty, you notice a common theme with people who reach that age, and they stay so lucid. And you are as intriguing and as interesting as anybody I hear Kevin and Bean interview. At age 91, do you feel that it is your adherence to a strict work schedule that keeps you so sharp and keeps you so kind of still so compelling?
Well, I don't know how sharp I am. I'm not that sharp, but I'm so fortunate, and I never take it for granted. I'm eternally grateful that at this age, I'm not only healthy, which is the main wonderful thing, but I'm working and keep getting invited for more work than I can do. How lucky can you be? And I taste it every single day and appreciate it.
Well, I will tell you, there were a lot of people when you signed on for Hot in Cleveland on the TV Land channel, there were a lot of people who didn't give that show much hope. They thought, well, what's this? This is, what's this going to be like? It ended up being a huge hit, the biggest hit ever on that channel. And you're what? In your fourth season now on that, right?
Isn't that fun?
It's crazy.
Oh, and those girls are the most fun to work with. Jane Leaves and Wendy Malick and Valerie Bertinelli. First of all, I had the Mary Tyler Moore group, who were the best.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Golden Girls, who were even more best. And now to luck into a company like this, it's really phenomenal.
Real quick, Betty, before we say goodbye, 60 Minutes and Vanity Fair got together just last week to put together a list of the greatest sitcoms of all time. I'm sure you saw that Mary Tyler Moore, that show that you were a star on for all those years, was ranked the fifth best sitcom in the history of television.
Really? Oh, I have not heard that.
Does that sound about right to you? Is that where you'd place it if you were making that list?
Oh, I'm a little prejudiced. I'd make it one.
They had Seinfeld at number one, by the way, in case you're wondering. Last question, Mike.
I just want to know, in an age where with reality TV and the internet, you're starting to see people get really famous overnight. You're a woman who's had a 7-decade career. Is it at all strange or even insulting to you as someone who's put in so much hard work to see these people get famous kind of overnight?
No, that's show business. If you get lucky overnight, it's wonderful. The sin comes if you believe your publicity and you think, oh, it's always going to be like this, and you don't appreciate it. That's when you get in trouble. But if you appreciate it and then try to move on to something else or be as cooperative as you can, I really think you get what you give.
Hey, we learned something valuable from Betty White today, and that is, and this is a message for people not just in show business, you're lucky. Yeah. You are lucky if you are healthy, if you have a job, if you have a family, if you have love, whatever it is that's good in your life. Not everybody has that, and that's an important thing to keep in mind.
Oh, is it ever.
Barnes & Noble tonight at the Grove starting at 7 o'clock. Wristbands starting in about 15 minutes or so if you want to line up and meet Betty White. And, of course, you'll see her a couple of times a month down at the Los Angeles Zoo. Be sure to say hi. I don't know when we'll get the chance to talk to you again, Betty, but really, I'm crossing this one off my bucket list. I've always wanted to have you on the program, and it's a real honor to talk to you, ma'am.
Well, I appreciate that with all my heart and give all the animals my love.
I will. Happy holidays to you, Betty. Bye-bye now.
And to you.
Little over an hour from right now, 10 o'clock at KROQ.com. You can watch in its entirety night number one of the 23rd annual KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas. That was the lineup on Saturday night if you weren't lucky enough to be there or you just want to see it again. You can see that starting at 10 o'clock, KROQ.com. And then tomorrow at 10 o'clock, you get to see Sunday night's lineup. So it's a pretty good deal for free, and it beats working too. It's a Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mike Catherwood is here filling in for Ralph Garman.
Yo.
A lot of people asking questions about your Demi Moore story. Not so much what she's up to now, but you brought up something from the 80s that a lot of people hadn't heard about until today.
She posed nude for a French magazine in the early 80s, and then Penthouse here in the United States took those pictures and bought the rights to them and then republished them. Demi Moore was not... she doesn't have stock in Gillette.
I understand, yes.
And she is not someone who... she likes to live au naturel.
Yes.
And she has she's more cumbersome in that in her panties than, say, other women have been.
It was not a close shave at Debbie's house the day that that photo was taken.
I find it hard to believe that it's real.
That's what I wanted to
Maybe
ask.
Maybe it is.
Lisa says she doesn't think it's real.
God, really?
Listeners are saying it looks like she smuggled in a black bear cub in her panties.
Yes.
What? Why do you think? Why are you so convinced it's real?
I'm only convinced it's real because it was originally in a like an actual nudie mag.
Uh-huh.
And it was
this is before the paparazzi with their internet Photoshop
this
stuff,
didn't, this
too,
didn't
right?
come about, like, on the internet. This wasn't some, like I see any, you name any hot chick, there's a ton of Photoshop nude pictures
right,
of
right.
her at any time. This is a rather innocuous pose. It's not like she has, like, eight guys gathered around her doing what they do. And no one's come out to deny this. As much of a firestorm of controversy as her area has caused, no one from Demi Moore's camps ever said that they denied this photo shoot.
Yeah.
And also, there's, like, three or four poses from the same photo shoot, and they all have the same growth. So I feel like it's real, and
it's a forest.
It is to me.
It's a forest.
And I don't know if I'm overstating it, but if I was a 19-year-old guy in 1982 and I was lucky enough to land a woman as beautiful as Demi Moore in my bedroom and I unearthed that, I would turn gay.
Well, you'd still be fighting to get out.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's like Little Shop of Horrors. This is dragging me back in. It was tractor force.
You cannot find your way out.
Speaking of...
It is shocking.
It is, so check it out. You know what you need to Google. I'm not going to go detail
right.
it anymore.
Yeah, you can find it, and it's worth it.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Yeah, exactly.
This just hitting the Daily Rags, Vito Schnabel, art dealer Vito Schnabel.
Oh, Vito. Yeah.
Who had been dating Demi Moore, the 50-year-old star. They just announced their breakup this morning.
I didn't know they were together.
Yeah. Demi parties after split, it says. So Demi Moore now single again, 50, ready to take on the town. She was dumped once again. I feel bad for this young lady because I do have to say, gigantic pubic region era.
Right, right.
Demi Moore. And now she's a beautiful, beautiful woman.
She is.
So.
She's a beautiful woman. And wasn't there some controversy over this boyfriend that just broke up because he was 25 years younger than her, right?
He was.
She did that thing in reverse.
Page 6 says, Vito 26 dumps Demi 50.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
There it is.
Update, if you haven't heard, we spoke with TMZ.com earlier today about this, but the radio hosts that prank called the hospital where Duchess Kate Middleton was having her baby, or at least was in because she was having severe morning sickness, they called pretending to be the Queen and Prince Philip.
Ah, mate. And it's the king.
They thought it was just a wacky radio prank like people do. Not this show, of course. And believe me, when they got the news that the woman who answered the phone, the receptionist who had placed their call to the nurse, had committed suicide.
Yeah.
Imagine what that felt like for them. They said it was the worst thing that obviously that's ever happened to them, and they'll never, ever, ever get over it. And they just can't even imagine what her family feels like. And the fact that what they did in any tiny way contributed to her death. It's got to be a crushing thing that you'll never get over.
Yeah.
Their show has been canceled. Unknown whether they will be returning to the air there or anywhere in Australia. But as of now, they're unemployed.
And I my heart goes out to those guys because it was such an innocent prank, and they weren't at all trying to really pull one over on people.
No.
It was a horrible impression.
Yeah.
And if the prank was something mean spirited, you know, that would have led someone to in any way reasonably look to suicide. You couldn't. Blame you'd be angry at these guys, but I mean, really,
they didn't do anything embarrassing to the woman, she literally just put the call through. That's all she did,
and now their life will never be the same.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so that's just a bad deal all around. I'm sorry to
see that.
Today's,
it's a princess, mate.
Today's celebrity birthday is the great singer-guitarist Jay Mascis. He has an acquired taste, his voice. He's not for everybody. He wouldn't win The Voice, but that doesn't mean he doesn't
talented
still make
dude,
great
though.
Records. Yeah, 47 years old today. Donovan Frankenreiter, another talented singer-songwriter.
I'm just mad about Saffron.
Nope, that's just Donovan. Completely different guy. Also in the musical world, drummer Meg White. Remember her? Remember when there used to be a band called the White Stripes?
Yes.
We just saw Jack White last night. He's doing fine. I haven't heard much about what Meg's up to, but I think she won't leave her house in Detroit. I think she's become agoraphobic, and she's married, and she's just being a housewife now. I think she's out of music completely.
She's taking pictures for a French magazine.
She might be doing that. Emmanuel Shariki, who I know you love very much, Mike, from Entourage, is 35 years old today. Raven Simone turns 27, and the great actor, director, and Shakespearean expert Kenneth Branagh is 52.
All right, mate. Kenneth Branagh.
That's the showbiz. Lumineers on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. They were one of the quieter acts that was playing the Acoustic Christmas Show over the weekend, but they totally won over the audience, didn't they?
They did. I was concerned about how people would respond to them,
yes,
but they love them.
Yeah, when you're at a show with Rise Against or somebody, you know, you have a certain expectation for the kind of energy that's coming out of the stage, and they're a different sort of band, but they're just, they're great musicians, yep, and they're just quality, and you kind of had a little bit of a crush on the lead singer, didn't you, Lisa?
A little bit. I'd gotten into a fight over him. Yep.
All right. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:08.
Oh, how about that American football contest last evening? What an exciting match.
Well, it certainly was. Our friend Andrew Siciliano sees all the games on the DirecTV Red Zone channel on Sundays and then NFL Total Access Monday through Thursday on the NFL Network. Andrew, you were there last night. Great to see you in person, buddy.
Speaking of volume, the Jack White thing kind of has my ears ringing.
Yes. Is that guy like a miracle? He's almost like a Robert Johnson Sold My Soul to the Devil guy. His music seems like it's being channeled from someplace else, doesn't it?
There is only one word I can use to describe him, and that is badass.
Yeah, he's badass.
He is a badass. And guys, I had a great time. I can't even thank you guys enough. I had a fantastic time. It was a great show.
Well, it was fun.
I have something to bring up with you, Mr. Siciliano. So obviously your hearing was impaired by Mr. Jack White, which explains why I screamed to you from, oh, I don't know, 14 feet away, Andrew, hey, buddy, sis, what's up? And you just ignored me. Either that or you
really?
You were just plain out ignoring me.
Wow. No, I do. You, how could I ever ignore you, a man of your stature? Hey, I would never, ever, ever ignore you. Clearly,
I think Andrew was only talking to the hot chicks last night.
Andrew is a...
You know, the funny thing is that I have an IFB in my ear for 8 hours or 7 hours, whatever it is, on Sunday with the simultaneous mix of 11 football games in my ear. So generally, I'm deaf regardless on Monday morning.
That makes sense.
And throwing that show, and it was even
well, let's talk about a couple of the games yesterday, because as we always say, there's nothing better than football. And where do you even start with the craziness yesterday? We might as well start with the Seahawks game, because it's been a long time since, well, I'll ask you, Andrew, how long has it been since any team in the NFL lost by 58 points?
You know, I can't even answer that, because I went to a concert and didn't look that fact up last night, but I can tell you that it is so bad that in Arizona right now, where they've lost 9 games in a row, you have Larry Fitzgerald, who's the only, you know, the star of the franchise, the face of the franchise. You have his father tweeting that this is an embarrassment. You have internal rumblings this morning that maybe they fire the head coach and replace him with the defensive coordinator, a guy named Ray Horton, who will be one of the hot assistants on the market, who is obviously going to get a head coaching job somewhere next year. It is a disaster. But on the flip side of it, you look at it and say, you know, the Seahawks, if you have to go to Seattle, you probably will not beat them. They are undefeated at home. Russell Wilson, I think, has thrown like 14 touchdowns with one interception at home. They just mess people up at home. And Pete Carroll, who everyone down here in Southern California remembers from SC, had his quarterback Matt Flynn throw the ball with 4th and 23 into the end zone, up 47-0.
Yeah, that's rubbing it in a little bit, isn't it? I don't know how you don't fire the Arizona head coach today. I honestly don't know, because you're not doing anything to get your players to even try if you lose that badly. You're just not. You're not competing at that point.
Well, at one point, and I don't know what the final numbers were, but for a good portion of the fourth quarter, they had 8 turnovers.
Yes,
as a team, and 8 first downs,
yeah,
which is really hard to do.
All right. Moving on. What happened to the Falcons? Is it just that they're so far out in front, they've got the home field advantage for the playoffs, so there's no reason to try that hard? They lost to Carolina.
Well, listen, I mean, they're supposed to win that game, and the first time they played at home, it was closer than it probably should have been. But there was a lot of talking this week. You know, the Falcons and their fans, to a lesser degree, it's a classic example of a team that no one buys their record. We know they're a very good football team, but it's a, all right, well, show me what you really are in the playoffs kind of vibe, because this team has made the playoffs now, I believe, 4 to 5 years, and they've still, with this coach and quarterback, yet to win a playoff game. So there's a lot of a, well, why don't you pay more attention to us thing.
Interesting.
For the Falcons? Why don't you respect us? And this week, the Panthers, the inferior team in this equation, called them out and basically said, we're the better team, and people laughed at them, and then they put up, and the Falcons
the Falcons shut up. I'm not shocked that they lost the game. I'm shocked that it was 23-0 right out of the game.
Right,
that
right.
They had to rally to make the score even respectable.
This is the voice of Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. You can see him this afternoon at 4 on that channel with NFL Total Access. A couple more games I want to throw at you. What went so horribly wrong with the Steelers this year? Why are they losing so many games, including yesterday again?
You know, for years that team has been able to, whenever they get injured, and they always get injured, to get the next guy in there and still find a way to win. And Mike Tomlin, the coach, and Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback, get all the credit for that. This year that has not been the case. When Ben got hurt, they lost 2 out of 3 with Charlie Batch at quarterback. Ben came back, and you figured that they would simply win this one. I have no idea what happened yesterday. I think the story here is not so much the Steelers, not to turn it around on you, but the fact that the Chargers, now you play your game of the year.
They're the most inconsistent team all year by far. You never know what you're going to get with San Diego.
And inconsistent is a really polite way to say bad.
Yeah.
Let's think about it. You know, when you say you're inconsistent, well, you're good enough to be this team, and then you show up and you lose to this team. That just means you're not good.
Yeah.
Yes, you have talent, clearly, but something there is not right, and you're not a good team. And when you have your coach and your general manager reportedly fired yet again, and that came out Thursday, yes, they're both out come season's end. All right, well, we probably knew that to begin with, but when you throw it out there in the Union Tribune on Thursday, and then the owner denies it, and then all of a sudden they go on the road, and they beat the Steelers, and not just beat them, I mean, again, they beat them up. You say, well, where has this been, and why now do you all of a sudden play for your head coach, who you knew was a dead man walking, but now that you read it in the paper, you got to play harder?
Yeah.
It makes no sense. It actually doesn't speak well to that group at all.
Inexplicable. All right, last question. Tonight, great matchup. Houston versus New England. Powerhouse teams. How do you call this?
Well, you know, it's statistically, so this late in the season, week 14 or beyond, if you take the winning percentages and combine their 20-4, it is the greatest Monday night matchup in NFL history.
Wow.
Since they started doing Monday night football.
Wow.
This late in the year. So, you know, the Patriots can still find a way to get the number one overall seed. It looks like it's going to be Houston, but with the Colts winning yesterday, the Texans haven't even wrapped up their division. I will take the home team if you were to ask for a humble prediction, which, of course, is for recreational purposes only.
Absolutely. Yeah, nobody would ever wager. It would be ridiculous to wager on sports anyway.
Who would do that?
Think about something like that.
Especially the NFL. No one does that.
No, I'm contractually forbidden and get no joy from it.
DirecTV Red Zone channel on Sundays. A few weeks left of that. And the NFL Total Access weekday afternoons at 4 on the NFL Network. Andrew, again, great to see you last night. If we don't talk to you again, happy holidays, my friend. Thank you for all your support on the Kevin and Bean Show in 2012. We love you, man.
Hey, right back at you guys. Had a great time. Thank you again. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye. Hey, Wall Nation on K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ. What, Mike?
I remember I saw that band. It was 1974. They were opening up for Kraftwerk, and
okay.
I was huffing paint.
Thank you, Jed.
In the parking lot with Mark Mothersbaugh.
All right. Thank you, Jed the Fish, for stopping by. Great to see you again. Hey, real quick, before we get out of here with our final showbiz beat, how about a pair of passes to the K-Rock advance reading of This Is 40? This movie looks so funny,
this
of course.
This is 40!
from the great Judd Apatow. It's kind of a sequel to Knocked Up, Paul Rudd, Leslie Mann, Jason Segel is in it, Megan Fox. It just looks awesome. It's opening everywhere on the 21st. You get to see it on December 17th at the AMC Burbank 16. Call now. This is 40.
This!
Five winners starting with number 40. How about that? Number 40.
All right.
You win here on K-Rock. Let's talk about my girlfriend, Taylor Swift, for a second. You know, I love her so much. By the way, what's she worth? She makes over $50 million each of the last 2 years. What do you think she's worth?
You also got to factor in endorsement deals. You know, I don't know if that's just from records. Are you quoting her total worth?
I'm not sure. I know. She's got so many streams
because
of income.
I honestly think that she's just going to never stop making
money.
She's one of those people that truly can't go broke.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, she turns 23 this week, by the way. Can you imagine what your life would be like at 22 to have that much money?
No, not at all.
Kind of insane. And she is back in the news because haters are going to hate and people are coming at her from every direction because now she's hooked up with One Direction's Harry Styles. He's one of the kids in that ridiculous boy band. And people are like, she's a whore and here she goes again and she's working her way through Hollywood. She's just single and dating, yeah. And she may be immature to the point where she doesn't know how to balance work and relationships, so she can't keep a relationship together.
You know, mature people don't know how to do that, and most people at her age with that kind of money would be on their way to dead.
That kind of money, and
the
also
the worst thing she's doing is serial dating. Really,
not just that kind of money, but that kind of work schedule too. And by the way, Harry Styles, pretty busy guy, too. It won't surprise me at all if this doesn't last, because they're both touring the world all the time.
Yeah, when do
like,
they
how much time
other?
Are they going to spend together?
And also, you got to factor in not only the money, not only the weird schedule and lifestyle, but the yes people. Hmm. Like, Taylor Swift is a 22-year-old that is surrounded by nothing but people who tell her she is the most amazing thing in the world. And she like Bean said, she's a little immature for her age, but she could get away with being so much more ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
If you think about how the world becomes, same with Bieber. I mean, with the millions of dollars he has and at the age he's at, honestly, really take into consideration what you'd be like at 19 or 20 with a couple, you know, $30-40 million and everybody loving you. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a weird life. So you got to cut him a little slack. It's not like she's, you know, a Penn State football coach.
Well, like you said earlier, so she's dating around. She's not Hitler.
She's not Hitler. she's in fact not Hitler.
She's actually not Hitler. Weekend box office, Skyfall continues its run at the top. Number one, the latest James Bond movie with another.
Have I told you the story of two rats?
$11 million.
Left alone in a bucket.
Yes. Javier Bardem is a great villain. I didn't think it was all that different from his last villain role that won him the Oscar,
though. He's tied into that one villain guy.
It
but
was a little friendo
awesome.
For me.
It was awesome.
But he is an amazing actor. Lisa, you will like it. You'll like it very much.
Disease, okay. You understand me?
Rise of the Guardians came in at number 2 at the box office over the weekend. 10.5
million. Mouth.
Then the Twilight Saga, number 3. Then Lincoln at 4. Life of Pi was number 5. And then Lisa, the one we were all waiting to see, is this going to break the streak for Gerard Butler, or is it going to be yet another dog? Well, start barking. $6 million at number 6 for Playing for Keeps.
I can't believe it's at number 6, but everything behind it has been out for a while.
Yes.
So that's
this
the
is
secret.
A new movie this weekend, and it's behind everything that's been out for like 3, 4, 5 weeks.
And I think it just peaked.
Yeah. Look, Gerard Butler has people too, Mike. You're in show business. How do they let him keep making so many bad romantic comedies in a row? Like, isn't there anybody on Team Gerard Butler who says, hey, that script sucks. Don't do that movie.
Well, I don't think that, and believe me, I don't know what the world of Gerard Butler's like, you know, just because I'm at the bottom of the rung of showbiz. But I doubt that studios are sending Gerard Butler the same scripts they're sending Ryan Gosling and Daniel Day-Lewis. You know, I mean, I'm sure they're probably like, look, we've gotten to the point where we understand this is about as good as you're going to do. So take this $15 million to do this horrible romantic comedy and cash him in because, you know, the starring role in Othello is not coming your way, Gerard Butler.
Wouldn't he be better off in a action kind of movie where you don't have to act that much necessarily, just run and look good and
do you guys
strong?
Think, is he the problem in these movies or is he just picking horrible
he's
movies?
Not the answer.
No. I don't think he's a very good actor.
This
I don't
one
think
has Catherine
talent.
Zeta-Jones in it, has Uma Thurman, it has other people who can't act, so it's not all him.
I don't think he is a good actor or has talent, but I do think that these movies are just overall bad. But my point is that I think that, you know, Gerard Butler had a point after 300 where people probably saw him as the next big star.
Yeah.
And he proved to not only audiences but his people that that's not going to be his route. So they just, it's like, make your money while you can. Like Betty White was saying, be grateful for what's coming your way because you never know what's coming tomorrow.
Number 7, Wreck-It Ralph. 8, the remake of Red Dawn. Flight at number 9 with Denzel Washington and Killing Them Softly, which has to be, I don't know if this isn't in a lot of theaters yet or not, but I mean, with James Gandolfini and Brad Pitt, I kind of expected to see a little bit more box office on that.
Yeah, but I haven't seen a lot of publicity for
that. Incredibly polarizing movie as far as the reviews.
Really?
It's either what a hack job or what a genius, you know, political commentary that they've done.
That's your box office. And one more before we go. Any final thoughts or verdict or conclusions that we've all come to about the Demi Moore photo that Mike has been talking about
it's
all day?
It's probably real.
That's Lisa wanted it to be photoshopped because she didn't believe that she had a cat on her lap when that photo was taken. And in fact, you're now willing to admit she did not have a cat on her lap. It's all Demi Moore.
You know, Mike's right. When they came out, they weren't photoshopping pictures like they are now.
No.
And there has never been a denial. So I'm gonna agree that those are real.
And Lisa May, in defense of all women, I'm not just speaking out of school here. It's excessive.
God, just people had scissors then.
Yeah.
Right?
There was a way to remove hair from the human body back then. We're talking the 1980s, not the 280s, right?
Just a little thinning, perhaps, would have been good.
That's right, bro. I'm Demi Moore's vagina, bro. You want to hang on? All right, okay. Brand Boulevard, bro.
Well, do yourself a Google search. In fact, we've been alerted by one of the listeners that if you type in Demi Moore that the auto finish, it's going to give you what you need right there without you even having to type it.
She's pubic hair reckoning.
Kenneth Branagh, the very acclaimed actor and director, turns 52 years old today. He's in the Harry Potter movies and just so much great work over the years. Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr., singer guitarist for that band, 47 years old today. Donovan Frankenreiter, another singer-songwriter. This guy's 40. He's the poor man's Jack Johnson. If you can't get into Jack Johnson, you get into Donovan Frankenreiter and you're just as happy.
Okay. They call me Mellow Yellow.
Nope, different guy. Emmanuel Shariki from Entourage celebrating her birthday today. She's 35. Raven Simone is 27. And here's a name you might have thought you'd never hear again since the White Stripes broke up a few years ago. Nope. Meg White celebrating her birthday today. Completely out of the music business as far as I know. Meg is 38 years old today.
And we talked to her grandmother earlier today, Betty. It's a lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know that, actually.
They are actually unrelated. No. All right. Thank you, Mike, very much for filling in today.
Yep, we appreciate it.
Truly was my pleasure. It's great to see all you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
This is the last time we'll probably see Mike for the year.
Yeah.
This is it until forever, 2013. Probably. Will you come in after the first year and do a Psycho Body, kind of whip people into shape for 2013?
I will be fresh back from vacation. I'll be fat myself.
Okay.
I'm going to tell everybody how to kind of get it back together.
Okay. I somehow managed to lose my paperwork, but my memory serves me that tomorrow is going to be a hell of a Kevin and Bean show. Listen to this. Listen to the lineup we got for you tomorrow. Howie Mandel on the program tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Great writer, director, actor Kevin Smith on the program tomorrow.
Talking flicks.
Funny man Eddie Ift on the program tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Eddie Ift.
Ray Romano, fresh off appearing with the president in Washington, D.C. over the weekend.
Obama.
That's a terrible Ray Romano.
I know.
Is going to be joining us
tomorrow. Shut your mouth.
And Chapter 29 of Trapped in the Closet, the great R. Kelly masterpiece, and the return of Ralph Garman, too. That's all happening right here tomorrow on the world-famous K-Rock.